Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and this is your girl, Raven the Serious Poet, bringing to you another 31 days of her. Welcome to Raven's Real Spill Radio, where the spill is 100% real always. So, as you can tell, tonight is night 20 in the series of 31 days of her. It has been entertaining. It has been hilarious. It has been a lot of mistakes made, but you know what? The show must go on. With that being said, we are going to get into the show. But before we do, feel free to call in. The number is 914-205-5813. That is 914-205-5813. We're going to get into this. Ghost Tales. Let's go.
I was 10 at the time this happened. This event still gives me the creeps to this day. I had a friend come over for the night at my house. We ate some snacks, watched a movie on Netflix, and basically, we're having fun. After a few hours, we got bored and decided to do something different. My friend suggested that we should take two of my bikes and go explore their abandoned house nearby, for your understanding. If we would have walked there, we would have made it around 1 hour to the destination. If we would have taken the bikes, we would have made around 10 minutes. So we grabbed the bikes and rode till we reached the road to the house. We left our bikes at the entrance of the road. The house is on the left side of the road, heavily damaged, old, and creepy. On the right side of the road, there was what looked like a garage, full of what we thought were tools. No car. I agree with my friend that we should explore the house first. then a garage. I already thought we should go back home. Right when my friend put his hand on the door, I heard a thud in the distance. It was like someone or something hit a metallic plate with a pipe or a big branch. I asked my friend, "Did you hear that?" My friend said, "Hear what?" I let it pass. I was thinking probably my brain was tricking me. Plus, I was a bit sleepy. The door to the house was old and creaky. I'll never forget the moment my brain processed the smell coming from the house. It smelled like rotten eggs, alcohol, and old unused meat. At this point, it was pitch black outside. We were using the flashlights from our phones to see in the dark. It was hard to see. My brain was making images that seemed real, but they were not. The atmosphere in the house was like an ancient place, but at the same time, it felt cursed. We saw a kitchen, living room, a bathroom with a purple mattress that covered the entrance of the room, and some stairs that were probably leading to the basement. Not even a candle was inside. The smell was coming from the kitchen, but also from upstairs. A hallway separated the living room and the kitchen. It was straight and as long as the ground floor. Firstly, we checked the living room because it was nearest us. It was almost connected to the kitchen. We pointed our flashlights at the floor and it was covered by a purple carpet with small black dots on it. There wasn't really anything special in the living room except for a lamp. It had a note on it that said, "I'll be back soon. Prepare the sauce," with a smiley face at the end. The paper looked old, but the ink was fresh. Somehow, we didn't give it much attention. Big mistake. We went to the kitchen, opened the cupboards, and saw food. Bread, some salad, tomatoes, some kind of meat, what we thought to be steak, and it was bloody. The food seemed fresh, but the smell that got to us was mostly coming from the steak. We weren't that scared before, but the chills sneaked into us. I told my friend that we should return home, but he was a jackass and wanted to continue. Although I didn't want to explore anymore, I didn't have a problem with that, but two particular things made me want to go home. The idea of a crazy and dangerous homeless person that could have lived in there, in the basement. The walls from the start of the basement stairs were made out of concrete and nothing else. My friend was walking toward the basement. I grabbed him by his arm and told him I don't want to go down there. After 1 minute, I convinced him that we don't need to explore that part of the house, and we moved on. Behind the purple mattress in the bathroom, there were clothes thrown everywhere. Pants, shirts, hoodies. But the weirdest thing was a bathtub. A mannequin with green dyed hair. I told my friend that we should get the fuck out of here. That's when we heard a scream from outside. A scream that was coming from a man. We both ran to a window to see what was going on. And what I saw marked me for life. Outside was a person with a clown mask that was dragging a dead body with him. He was heading for a garage. We both whispered to each other. What should we do? I don't know. I think there were two of them. The other one must be in the garage. As we were talking, the man in the clown mask turned on the lights in the garage. At that point, we could have died of fear. What we saw as tools were actually tools for dismantling a human body. The clown picked up the tool and began to scoop the man's parts out. I almost puked. We called the police thinking no one can hear us. They said to stay hidden until they arrived. We ran upstairs with no idea what was waiting for us there. Upstairs, there were four rooms. A bathroom and three bedrooms. We went into the first one that had a window. After minutes felt like hours, we heard the sirens of the police cars. I was so relieved when something happened. We heard a cracking voice saying, "Come out, come out. I have many toys you can play with." After that, we heard a door opening. Not from our room, from one of the other three. My friend tried to open the window quietly, but after one small move, he gave up because it was creaky. At that moment, the guy was knocking on the door. We heard the police say, "Put your hands in the air." Then an officer kicked down the front door. At the same time, the guy from our door started to scratch the door with something sharp. Then he broke into the room. I had no choice but to try to jump through the old window, which I did. I couldn't feel the pain because of the fear. I landed in some bushes, then started to run towards the police cars. Then I heard someone running in the back. I looked, and it was the clown that dragged the body. He was faster than me, but the police officer saw him and shot him in his right hand. Then I saw the other clown walking out of the house, cuffed, and with another officer behind him. I was worried sick for my friend. Then my friend walked out of the house with another officer. I was so glad we didn't get harmed. The cuffed clown was sent to prison and got a life sentence for serial murders, selling illegal things, stealing goods from people and breaking into houses. And yes, the steak we saw was human flesh. I've never visited any abandoned house since. This incident took place in my old house in the winter of 2013. Me being 12 years old, my mom had gone on a vacation to visit her friend in Bakersfield, California, leaving us home alone. My sister Aurora, who was the oldest at 21, would be watching us, as well as my brother Austin, 19 back then. Austin and Aurora had come back from the local gas station to grab some snacks, hot dogs, hamburgers, slushies, candy, and chips, and as well as Austin getting a pizza from Little Caesars, as we were going to watch a football game that night. It was December 15th, 2013, when it was pitch blackout, the game being either the third or fourth quarter. Even over the commentator and the loud sounds coming from the TV, we could hear a faint yet very slight scratching sound coming from the garage. It sounded like our cats were scratching the wood on the garage, or maybe one of the dogs. Addison, my little sister, was looking around for the dogs and cats when she found them in the basement all resting in either our billet room or the two bedrooms we had down there. Addison came upstairs and told us, and we were pretty reasonably shaken. The scratching continued, and it only made us feel more unsettled. Austin and Aurora looked pretty shaken when we heard a loud collapsing sound in the garage. It sounded like someone climbed up the ladder to our storage area, went through all of our boxes, and shuffled them around. It was when it hit us. Bailey, my other sister, turned off the TV, while Allie, another one of my sisters, went to go turn off the lights. Addison hid in one of my basement bedrooms. Allie hid behind the china cabinet in our other basement bedroom. I was hiding under my bed. Aurora and Bailey were hiding behind my parents' bed. Then someone opened the door to our house and slammed it shut. It was a man. The man said in a gruff voice, walking into the bedrooms,
"Aurora, Austin, Allie, Bailey, Elijah, Addison, I would like to give you some candy."
He also said our full names at one point, and somehow knew our middle names. The man started pounding on the three-bedroom doors and screaming that he had a bunch of candy canes, and he just wanted to spread the Christmas cheer. Austin jumped on the man from behind, and he actually had a huge kitchen knife. Austin managed to stop him from stabbing or cutting him. The cops arrived a minute later, and the man was still in Austin's possession. Austin had left him for maybe 20 seconds, and when he went back in the hallway, the man was gone. We heard the front door shut, and Austin never caught the guy. Unfortunately, however, the story doesn't even end yet. One day, when I was 15, I was walking home from school with Addison and Bailey. Aurora and Austin and Allie had all moved out by then. I opened the front door to see everything shifted around, and the whole house was trashed. We found this incredibly odd, and even more, that it was a terrible foul smell coming from our basement. And five of our dogs, Rocky, Roscoe, Petey, Coco, and Bingo, were all clawing at the basement door. I opened the door, since Rocky, Coco, Bingo were all German Shepherds. They weren't scared, as Petey and Roscoe were golden retrievers and they were petrified. Rocky went down first. He was acting very brave, and then looked in the basement bedroom and started barking. Our basement bedrooms are like this. One is off in the billet room, and there's a door at the back of the room leading to another basement bedroom. One was our guest room slash office, and the other room was a storage room that was formerly our playroom, but Rocky was actually barking into our storage room. Bailey and Addison were upstairs cowering, while me and Rocky were downstairs in the storage room scavenging around the room. I turned on the fan and the light. Then I hear,
"Elijah, come down here, please."
I jumped, and the man from that one night in December stood up with a knife. Rocky pinned the guy to the floor, biting him profusely. I screamed for Addison or Bailey to call the cops, and they arrived in 5 minutes while Rocky was on top of the man. He was arrested and had been responsible for several crimes.
I had forgotten about both incidents for a while, and we actually moved out of that house a few days ago, which was June 11, 2020. And when we were actually looking at the house for a last look, Beatty looked at the wall behind the china cabinet in the guest room and screamed. There was old carved blood into the wall that said, "I will come back." I will forever be grateful toward Rocky and Austin, both saving our lives. And Coco unfortunately died in August 2017 due to lymphoma. This incident will forever haunt me, and I hope we never see that man again. And I fear he will come to our new house. And he was sentenced to 12 years. I started my new job at Will Rogers Airport. I say new job, but I was really just moved to a different airline and working on the same ramp agent position. Now I have to tell you that I have a crippling fear of heights, and my least favorite part of being ramp agent is when I have to climb in a cargo bin or rear loading plane because it's about 20 feet above the ground. The first thing is it was raining. Not just light raining, but pouring rain with a few scattered lightning flashes and random power surges. Every now and then, we have dead bodies transported in the cargo bins. This was one of those occasions, and tonight was my lucky night apparently because my manager told me I was throwing this plane. Throwing means I was pulling the cargo out of the bin. It was the last plane for the night, and wasn't very much cargo besides the body. My coworker John pulled the ramp loader to the plane and raise it up so I can walk up to the conveyor belt to enter the bin. About four other co-workers come over with the baggage tug for the cargo. I say to everyone in a louder than normal tone because the rain was loudly smacking the metal shell of the airplane. I hope y'all are ready. I'm not trying to be out here all night. John laughed and said, "Don't worry about it. Maybe you can find a new friend in there," in reference to the bodies. I didn't think it was funny, but I chuckled and told him to shut up and let's get going. I climbed into the small and cramped space and sat in the bin as far from the human-sized white cardboard box as I could and pulled my phone out of my pocket to select a playlist to listen to while I throw the bin. I find a good one and I start working. The conveyor belt moves at a snail's pace and you have to wait until they scan each individual package so I can't just throw them as fast as I want to get out of there. About 10 minutes into it, I'm getting closer and closer to this box, and my music stops playing. I've had earbuds that short out when they get wet, so in the front of my mind, I automatically assumed that the rain somehow got on it, and I just needed to shake the little water out of them. But they were bone dry. I checked Spotify to see if it was a glitch or a problem with the app, and I see I have an unread text. Did I get a notification and forget in the midst of my rap fuel baggage handling? The way my phone is set up, when I get a message, it will tell you who it is from, but it won't display the message. You have to access them and read it. The message was from an unknown number, which was odd because very few people have my number. I clicked the notification and I read the message, and all it said was hi. I sent a text back and I said, who is this? My phone displayed that whoever sent the message saw mine immediately after it sent. I waited and no response. I started my playlist back up and got back to my job. Shortly after, a crash of thunder that was so loud the plane shook made me jump at first, but I quickly rationalized it and returned to work. I noticed the conveyor belt was no longer moving. I yelled to John, "What the hell is going on up there? Why did it stop?" He told me to sit tight. They're going to drop off this load. I think to myself, where else am I going to go? About 1 minute later, it got cold, like I could see my breath cold. I wrote it off as just a cold front, and I reach over for some stranger's luggage to lean on while I wait. As I look over for a bag to grab, lightning went across the sky, and I saw a quick flash of a little boy, 11, maybe 12 years old, sitting on a white box, staring at me with this eerily happy smile. And his head turned slightly to the side. My heart sunk and I froze. never taking my eyes off that box for what felt like hours. I was startled by the replacement conveyor belt starting up right next to the plane. I darted to the moving conveyor, crawling as fast as I could, trying to keep my balance and panic at the same time. I hit the ground and looked at John and said, "Nope, I'm done. You're going to have to go in there." I didn't want to explain exactly what I saw, but John knew something scared me. So he asked me what was wrong and who was it. I stuttered a little bit, and I walked away before I could say anything. Then I got a new text message notification that I heard loud and clear this time. It responds from an unknown sender saying, "It's your new friend." This incident took place in my old house in the winter of 2013. Me being 12 years old, my mom had gone on a vacation to visit her friend in Bakersfield, California, leaving us home alone. My sister Aurora, who was the oldest at 21, would be watching us, as well as my brother Austin, 19 back then. Austin and Aurora had come back from the local gas station to grab some snacks, hot dogs, hamburgers, slushies, candy, and chips, and as well as Austin getting a pizza from Little Caesars, as we were going to watch a football game that night. It was December 15th, 2013, when it was pitch blackout, the game being either the third or fourth quarter. Even over the commentator and the loud sounds coming from the TV, we could hear a faint yet very slight scratching sound coming from the garage. It sounded like our cats were scratching the wood on the garage, or maybe one of the dogs. Addison, my little sister, was looking around for the dogs and cats when she found them in the basement all resting in either our billet room or the two bedrooms we had down there. Addison came upstairs and told us, and we were pretty reasonably shaken. The scratching continued, and it only made us feel more unsettled. Austin and Aurora looked pretty shaken when we heard a loud collapsing sound in the garage. It sounded like someone climbed up the ladder to our storage area, went through all of our boxes, and shuffled them around. It was when it hit us. Bailey, my other sister, turned off the TV, while Allie, another one of my sisters, went to go turn off the lights. Addison hid in one of my basement bedrooms. Allie hid behind the china cabinet in our other basement bedroom. I was hiding under my bed. Aurora and Bailey were hiding behind my parents' bed. Then someone opened the door to our house and slammed it shut. It was a man. The man said in a gruff voice, walking into the bedrooms,
"Aurora, Austin, Allie, Bailey, Elijah, Addison, I would like to give you some candy."
He also said our full names at one point, and somehow knew our middle names. The man started pounding on the three bedroom doors and screaming that he had a bunch of candy canes, and he just wanted to spread the Christmas cheer. Austin jumped on the man from behind, and he actually had a huge kitchen knife. Austin managed to stop him from stabbing or cutting him. The cops arrived a minute later, and the man was still in Austin's possession. Austin had left him for maybe 20 seconds, and when he went back in the hallway, the man was gone. We heard the front door shut, and Austin never caught the guy. Unfortunately, however, the story doesn't even end yet. One day, when I was 15, I was walking home from school with Addison and Bailey. Aurora and Austin and Allie had all moved out by then. I opened the front door to see everything shifted around, and the whole house was trashed. We found this incredibly odd, and even more, that it was a terrible foul smell coming from our basement. And five of our dogs, Rocky, Roscoe, Petey, Coco, and Bingo, were all clawing at the basement door. I opened the door, since Rocky, Coco, Bingo were all German Shepherds. They weren't scared, as Petey and Roscoe were golden retrievers, and they were petrified. Rocky went down first. He was acting very brave, and then looked in the basement bedrooms and started barking. Our basement bedrooms are like this. One is off in the billet room, and there's a door at the back of the room leading to another basement bedroom. One was our guest room / office, and the other room was a storage room that was formerly our playroom, but Rocky was actually barking into our storage room. Bailey and Addison were upstairs cowering, while me and Rocky were downstairs in the storage room scavenging around the room. I turn on the fan and the light. Then I hear, "Elijah, come down here, please." I jumped and the man from that one night in December stood up with a knife. Rocky pinned the guy to the floor, biting him profusely. I screamed for Addison or Bailey to call the cops, and they arrived in 5 minutes while Rocky was on top of the man. He was arrested and had been responsible for several crimes. I had forgotten about both incidents for a while, and we actually moved out of that house a few days ago, which was June 11, 2020. And when we were actually looking at the house for a last look, Bailey looked at the wall behind the china cabinet in the guest room and screamed. There was old carved blood into the wall that said, "I will come back." I will forever be grateful toward Rocky and Austin, both saving our lives. And Coco unfortunately died in August 2017 due to lymphoma. This incident will forever haunt me, and I hope we never see that man again. And I fear he will come to our new house. And he was sentenced to 12 years. When I was 20 years old and my brother was 15, our parents were out of town. My brother had some friends over one night. As I walked out of the door to pick up food, I overheard them talking about the supernatural. What I didn't know was one of them had brought over a spirit board. While I was gone, they decided to call on the spirit. After a few times of asking for a spirit to appear to them, they got their wish. The lights in the house went out. A low, eerie laugh consumed the whole house, and not one of the seven could move. They all say they could see a shadow circling the table, but the light from the neighbor's house was dense. All of them knew they should run, yet they couldn't even move a finger. No one could speak, scream, or cry. As I pulled into the driveway, the seven teenagers came running out in the house screaming and crying. They reached me quickly, but as they were running to me, I saw the blinds in the living room pull apart in the middle aggressively. Before I could process what I had seen, all of them were trying to tell me what had just happened. The front door suddenly slammed, knocking the already torn blind to the floor. Although you think that it would be the end of the story, but it's not. Someone still had to go back in the house, or at least lock the door. The 17s weren't an option, and I was the only adult in sight. I had my brother go with me since this is partly his fault. We walked to the front door slowly, but both of us were breathing hard and I could hear my heart pounding in my ears. As I put my fingers on the handle of the door, I thought about it like ripping off a Band-Aid. Just do it fast. I slung the door open with one swoop. The smell was unimaginable, and it hit us like a slap in the face. The odor was a mixture of flowers and something rotten. It took us a moment to overcome the horrific smell. Before entering the house, I tried to turn on the lights by the door. The outside light and the hall light turned on right away. I shouldn't have been surprised to see that the house was in shambles. If I hadn't seen the blind rip open or see the door slam on its own, I would have thought my brother had entertained a wild party. As we entered the house, I began telling the entity in a loud, demanding voice, "Leave this home. You're not welcome here." As I spoke, I walked to where the spirit board was on the floor. When I picked up the board, I said, "This conversation has ended. Goodbye." The front door slammed on its own again, but the odor was gone. We cleaned up, and honestly, we never told my parents. My name is Kenneth. I'm 22 years old, and this story happened a couple of months ago. I had just gotten a job working nights at an Amazon warehouse near where I live. On my shifts, there weren't that many of us. It would just be me on my own doing my work somewhere in the warehouse. I think it was my second night at work when a security guard who worked there introduced himself. His name was Vincent. He was a large man, slightly overweight, in his late 30s. He was friendly at first when we started talking. Mostly small talk and interests we both have. He asked if I wanted to go get a beer and maybe see a movie the following Friday, as we both had that day off. I agreed as I didn't have any plans and I don't go out too often. That Friday in the evening, me and Vincent met up at a bar near where we work. Everything went okay. We had some drinks, talked about sports and previous jobs we worked. Then we headed out to the movie theater. That's when Vincent started acting weird. We bought our tickets and headed to the theater. I needed to use the bathroom, so I went. I was standing at the urinal doing my thing when I heard a bathroom door open. I couldn't hear any footsteps, but I didn't think twice about it. Then I turned around. I saw Vincent standing there watching me. His head was down, but his eyes were up, and he was just smiling at me. I jumped and I laughed, saying he startled me. But Vincent just stood there looking at me. It was like he was angry almost, with a weird smile. It's weird. You would have to be there to understand. I just walked past him and said I would wait for him outside. That was the first red flag. Then as we were in the movie theater watching the movie, I swear he was staring at me. I wasn't certain, but I could see in the corner of my eye that he was turned staring directly at me. I was too freaked out to check, so I did my best to focus on the movie. The next thing that happened was Vincent started rubbing his hand on my thigh. That was it for me. I got up and I walked out. The next week at work, Vincent came up to me and asked if I wanted to go hang out. I looked at him confused and annoyed at the same time. I thought me up and leaving was obvious. I wasn't interested and don't want anything to do with him. I told him no, I'm busy, and carried on working. Fast forward a few weeks later of him asking me and hanging out and texting me, calling me. I really had enough. So the next time I saw him in work, I told him I don't want anything to do with him and to leave me alone. I turned away and carried on sorting boxes. Vincent walked away and I thought that was the end of it. Boy, was I wrong. Later that night, I decided to take a break and go to the bathroom. I sat inside one of the stalls to answer a few texts. I then heard some heavy boots stumping down the corridor, then into the bathroom. I opened the stall door to see what was going on. Before I could open the door, it was kicked into me, causing me to fall backwards, and then Vincent was on top of me, putting his hands all over my face, trying to cover my mouth, and then he started strangling me. I was losing consciousness, but I still remember the look of Vincent's face as he was choking me. His face was red and his eyes were wide as they could be. I thought I was going to die, but for some reason, Vincent let me go and left the bathroom. I sat up trying to catch my breath. I was still in defense mode because I thought for some reason Vincent was going to come back and kill me, but he never did, thankfully. I reported what happened to the manager. He looked on the CCTV camera, and I called the police. You can see me walking into the bathroom, and about a minute later, Vincent rushes in. At that point, Vincent had left the warehouse and went home. Well, that's what he told the police anyway. I'm going to fast forward what happened next and say due to no proof of Vincent attacking me, the charges were dropped against him. He even got to keep his job. I felt that justice had been taken away from me, and there was no way I was going to continue at Amazon, especially with that maniac still working there. I left that job, obviously, and currently have a new job. I hope and pray for whoever comes into Vincent's path, stay away from him. I love Modern Warfare, and I usually play for hours on end. If you don't know what that is, it's a Call of Duty game. My name is Michaela, and a few months ago, I had a really bad experience due to playing Call of Duty. I usually play with my friends, Mimi, Yaya, and Maya, in Hardcore Team Deathmatch, or Warzone. I'm not really that good, and possibly the worst of my friends. There was one Saturday where it was raining and storming all day, so we literally played for about 15 hours straight. Late that night, everyone was getting tired but me. Then this guy joined one of our games. His name was Probe Master. This man kept whispering in the mic like some weirdo or something. Then all of us received requests through PSN. I'm the only one that actually accepted it. I stayed on the game while everyone went to sleep. Every match, I'd hear this guy whispering, but he kept camping in the game, so his KD was very low. One game I did horrible. Then this guy sent me a message saying that I'll put up impressive numbers, but my overall ratio was 0.20. I know I suck, but this guy would not stop talking about how good I was. Just be polite. I would say thank you. So a few weeks go by, and this guy would constantly jump in my Call of Duty games, and every Friday, he would send me a message saying, I hope you have a good weekend, like some creeper, because I would never respond. Well, until one day. He jumped in the game as my friends and I were in a free-for-all game. After the first game, he played with us in some randoms. He said, good game, guys. Especially you, Michaela. All of my friends stopped talking. Then Maya asked me how this guy knows my name, and I said I don't know because my username isn't even close to my real name. Then she attempted to ask him, but he wasn't on anymore. 3 days later, and this guy still hasn't logged back on. I even sent him a message asking him how he knew my name. No response. I was a little worried. Not for him, but just wondering how he knew my real name. Maybe he guessed it. So again, one day I get home, open up my blinds, relax a little, and I started playing Modern Warfare in my living room. I threw on my hoodie to get more comfortable. Everyone was playing except for Malia. We didn't know where she was. So I'm sitting there waiting for the next game to load, and I receive a text that says, "Michaela?" with a question mark from a number I didn't know. I can tell it was an iPhone because I replied with, "Yeah, who's this?" and it turned blue, and the person immediately read it with no response. I looked up at my TV because I heard a camera sound, and I noticed a flash. I need to mention that the window was about 6 or 7 feet behind me to the right, and that's where it came from. Then I received a text message from the same number. It was a photo of me, taken from outside the window. I was stuck. I looked at the reflection on my TV. I could see a man standing on the outside of my window. I turned around and the man started clawing at the screen, trying to get in the living room. I yelled for my dad and he started running downstairs. Before my father got to the room, the man ran away. My father ran outside, but the guy was gone. One of my neighbors got a good look at him and helped with a sketch. I also showed the text messages to the cops. This guy just simply disappeared. I haven't seen him on a game and haven't received text messages anymore. He's never been found. That situation keeps me on my toes. Just be careful. This happened to me May 30th, 2020. My parents were a couple of blocks away from where I live because they were staying at my aunt's house. My aunt is paranoid schizophrenic, so she has special needs and such. Anyways, it was around 4 a.m. I was a night owl, so I stayed up late playing The Last of Us and drinking soda. I suddenly had the urge to go to the bathroom, so I paused the game and walked into the bathroom and did my business. While I was washing my hands, I heard someone cough from outside of my house, near the gate that leads into my backyard. Since not even a few months ago, my home was invaded. I freaked the hell out, and I ran into my dad's bedroom and pulled out the case where he kept his handgun. Since of what happened before, my dad became paranoid and bought a .44 Magnum, just in case we had to use it. I wasn't supposed to know about it, but my brother told me since my dad told him. I grabbed a gun and then I hid under my dad's bed as I heard the back screen door open and some noise at the back door. It sounded like he was messing with the back doorknob. I hoped he would fail to get inside and leave, but it seems like nothing can go right for me this year. By the way, I live in Minneapolis. The person somehow got the door open and had entered the house. The back door leads into the basement as I heard the person go downstairs. I didn't remember my phone in my pocket. I dialed 911. As soon as the operator picked up, I heard the person walk upstairs and walk into the kitchen and began opening and closing all the drawers and cabinets. I didn't feel comfortable talking with the person so close, so I didn't tell the operator what was happening. Then the person entered my dad's bedroom. They flipped the light open and began digging around through some of my dad's files. I identified the person as this big fat man wearing a stained white robe. Then I got an alert on my phone. It was a text from my friend, who I was playing video games with, asking me what I was doing. I cringed and I clenched my teeth in fear. I asked myself if I was willing to shoot someone. However, I then realized that I had my phone on silent, so it was only a vibration. The man heard something though, and began moving the blankets on my dad's bed. I gripped the revolver handle tight as I then saw the man leave the room and move into another part of my house. I got on the phone with the police and explained the situation to the operator and alerted her of suspicions that a KKK member was in my house because there were rumors that the KKK were in our county. The 911 operator suggested that I remain hidden. I then heard the man walk back into the kitchen and then I heard a loud thud. All of a sudden, the police sirens were heard near my house. I heard the man panicking The man frantically ran back out my back door. I looked through my dad's window and watched the man in the white run and hide in my garage. I went out the front yard and met up with two female police officers and explained everything, including how the man was in my garage. I stayed with one of the officers while the other one went to search my garage. She came back 5 minutes later saying it was clear and that a window in my garage was open. I called my parents who came back home. The cops left shortly after we filed a report. My dad became paranoid and searched the garage, where he found a piece of white cloth underneath his car. I don't know if it was really the KKK, but that was a terrifying experience of my life while in quarantine. My dad has ordered security cameras to prevent any break-in from happening. Just be safe out there. I live in rural Kentucky. Southeast Kentucky, to be exact. I was staying with my aunt and uncle up in Mount Vernon, Kentucky, along with my aunt's great-great-aunt named Leela. I was between the ages of 6 and 8 at the time, and Leela was around her late 80s or early 90s and was sadly in poor health. Doctors had refused her treatment due to her age and overall health. She's about 5'3", 200 pounds, and wheelchair-bound, so they opt for setting up hospice in my aunt's house, allowing her to live out her days. Anyways, I had slept on the couch the days I were there, and leading to their back porch were the sliding glass doors. They always kept blinds over them and had an alarm system and kept the doors locked, so I wasn't really worried because, even as a kid, I knew what break-ins were. Needless to say, I was pretty freaked out when I was awakened by low tapping sounds on the glass doors. It was daylight, so I thought nothing of it. I kind of assumed it was one of the stray dogs that roamed the area, and that their tail was hitting the glass. Not long after that, I saw a shadow through the blinds. No eyes, no features, just a really tall shadow. Well, I thought it was my uncle just leaving to go to work, so I went back to sleep. I awoke later to find out that A, it was Saturday, and he had the day off, and B, it snowed all night, and there were no footprints at all. My aunt was freaked out and couldn't really let me sleep on the couch after that. You skip forward a day or two, and I'm at home when our phone rings. It was my aunt calling to tell my mom that Leela had died. That in itself was kind of spooky, given the fact that my aunt thought that I had seen an apparition. But the kicker? Leela was sitting on the couch I had slept on, and she just slumped over. My little cousin Emily, who was around 4 or 5 at the time, screamed and began blabbering about the dark man over Leela. Needless to say, everyone now tells anyone I bring home about the time I saw the Reaper. My name is Valentine and I live in Windsor, Ontario. This is a horrific story that happened to me, and I'm willing to share it with you. I feel I need to get this out, so here it goes. This story happened about a decade ago. My mom was acquainted with this weird but nice guy named Michael. They would often hang out and she introduced me to him at some point. I noticed a creepy vibe when I was around him, but as I got to know him more, I really didn't care. He even got me a real dream catcher, as I was into that kind of stuff, and it's got me to respect him. However, there was this one day my mom was at her friend's house, and I was home alone. Michael was driving a minivan and pulled up to the driveway and started honking his horn for my mom. I went outside to tell him that she wasn't home. He grinned at me. I mean, he grinned like he was going to get what he wanted. Well, I think he did because he asked me if I wanted to go get some ice cream. And I, being a little kid, didn't know better. I said yes. He told me to hop on in. I got in and we drove down to this place called Dairy Delight. To be fair, we actually did get ice cream, but the car ride back was just weird. We started driving in a direction I wasn't familiar with. I asked him where we were going. His response was, "We're going to see your mom." He said that with a dark smile on his face. But that didn't make any sense. My mom was busy during this day, and there's no way she would have been able to be picked up by this guy. I started feeling a pain punch in my stomach. I nervously said, "Maybe we should go back to my house." And he turned back to me and glared. After glaring at me for about 5 to 10 seconds, he said in a very dark tone. No. I noticed he was pulling over, and there was a guy standing on the road with his thumb out. Michael pulled over and told him that he would drive him to wherever he was headed. The guy got in the van, and we drove off in what felt like a hurry. For the record, I was in the back seat. Michael and this guy both smiled and looked at each other, then at me. This guy was messy, wearing a stained green shirt and cuts on his pants. The two were talking back and forth to each other about stuff I don't even remember, but they seemed to be getting along like they knew each other. I already could tell that Michael knew this guy. He wasn't a hitchhiker. I was scared out of my mind. I wanted to go home. I failed to notice this earlier, but in the way back of Michael's van, there were pictures. What scared me straight was one of the pictures was of me. It looked like it was me walking home from school. I finally realized what Michael's true colors were. I started crying and screaming for someone to help me, and the two up front started laughing at me. I saw a wrench that was on the floor of Michael's van. I quickly thought of what I had to do. I picked up the wrench and swung the van window open and screamed for my life. The hitchhiker tried grabbing me, but I chomped on his hand and he let out the most horrific scream I've ever heard. Michael slammed on the brakes and I jumped out. The van didn't move an inch while I was running away. I was able to get help from a nearby pedestrian, and she helped me to my place where we called my mom and the cops. Turns out Michael had spent time behind bars for what he had done to other children. My mom rushed home when she heard the news. She was mad at me for going with him, but she was very happy I was safe and cried while holding me. Michael was found at his sketchy apartment and was arrested later that day. Unfortunately, they never found the guy he picked up. I don't know where Michael is today, but I hope he's rotting behind bars for other reasons, because no kid should have to go through that again. About a couple of months ago, around October, I wanted to make a Halloween video with some friends. We wanted to film a short film about a psycho in the woods. We went to my local woods where we were looking for a good spot to film. We ended up going down a small ravine to film. Everything was normal until we noticed some weird objects above the part of the ravine, so we went to go check it out. We climbed uphill from the ravine, where we found a small shelter, something that a man built to sleep in. Around the small shelter, there were dolls hung around it, deformed and almost satanic-like. The dolls were really unpleasant and made us uncomfortable. However, it looked good for our film, so we started filming there until we kept hearing noises around us and our anxiety was getting too high, so we just booked it out of there. We still filmed at the bottom of the ravine, but now with more friends. They didn't believe what we found, so we took them to see the dolls. We didn't hear anything, but some of our friends got really anxious, so we left. But me personally, I don't believe in paranormal stuff, but I did leave with scratches on my back that I did not feel until we left the woods. I have footage of us finding the dolls in the woods and pictures of the scratches on my back. It was really unpleasant finding those scratches though. I went back recently to see if the dolls were still there with a friend of mine, but they were gone. But the shelter was still there. I don't know if there was a psycho living in the woods, but who will ever know, honestly. When I was 12 years old, we lived in a really old house. It was at least 200 years old, and there were rumors that it was haunted. One night, as I was lying in bed, my mother came into my room. At least I thought it was my mother. The room was dark and the only light was coming from the hallway. Instead of saying goodnight, she started to tell me a weird and disturbing story about how a demon once came to a 12-year-old girl. She said the demon came at night, crawled up next to the girl and began growling in her left ear. She told me that the girl said a prayer over and over, and the demon eventually went away. I remember just laying there, looking at her, wondering why she was telling me this story, especially right before I went to sleep. She was really freaking me out, honestly. Eventually, she finished the story and got up, and she left without saying anything more. I laid there in the darkness, trying to figure out why my mom would say those things. I tried to get it out of my mind and concentrated on getting comfortable and falling asleep. I couldn't tell if the sound was human or animal. It was a growling sound that left me terrified. I was too afraid to move. I was too afraid to breathe. I was paralyzed by fear. I wanted to scream, but I was afraid of what might have happened. At that moment, I thought of a prayer and started reciting it in my head. I was too terrified to say anything aloud. The growling continued for what felt like an eternity. Then suddenly it stopped. I lay there listening for any other sounds, but all I could hear was an eerie silence. I was awake all night until the sun came up. The next morning, I asked my mother about the story she told me. She claimed she knew nothing about it. She said she had never come into my room the previous night. What she said scared me even more than the growling itself. She said, "That wasn't me. Why would I tell you such a horrible story? Why would I scare you like that before bedtime?" To this day, I still cannot come up with an explanation. I believe that whoever or whatever it was that came into my room that night, it was not my mother. I think it was her doppelganger or a protective spirit disguised as her, trying to warn me of what was about to happen, trying to tell me how to save myself from a possible demon that was about to come for me, or whoever it was. Thank you. This dream has stayed with me for years. Although not profound or life-altering, I've never been able to shake the memory and the feeling of absolute terror and dread. To give some context, this was a number of years ago. Currently, I'm 23 years old. When this dream occurred, I was around the age of 11. As a child, I suffered from sleep paralysis for a number of years. At first, this terrified me to the point of me not wanting to sleep. It became so bad that I pushed myself to states of exhaustion before my body could no longer remain conscious, and I would just pass out, only to return to the horrifying imagery of my subconscious. The first time I ever experienced sleep paralysis, I still lived with my aunt. I awoke to the sensation of not being able to move, and this confused me but didn't scare me. It was only when I saw what stood in the corner of my room did the fear really start to set in. It was a hooded figure in all black. In his hand was some kind of weapon. It stood there staring at me. My eyes widened as I prayed for this to be some kind of dream or hallucination. I was frozen in fear. Its sharp, crooked dagger teeth began to form a smile. It slowly began to turn its head like a doll, continuing until it was at such an unnatural angle, and then it started to inch towards me. It didn't walk. It simply began to move closer. I can't really explain it. It edged closer to me, still staring at me. Looking back, I can still picture it, and it disgusts me. It continued until it was halfway across the room. Then without warning, it just stopped. This is when my blood ran cold. It slowly raises its arm from beneath its cloak to reveal its hideous, revolting arm. A mixture of rotting flesh and bone, decomposing right there in front of me. And the sight of it made me want to throw up. Then it did something I would never forget. Slow and methodically, it raised its hand and began to point. Not at random, not at something in my room, but at me. My eyes widened further, and my heart began to thump in my chest. It then places both hands upon his head and began to pull and twist his head back into place. The noise it made sent shivers down my spine and sent goosebumps and chills all over my body. It cracked and creaked and screamed back into place, and then the figure began to approach me. It was at that point, full-blown panic set in, and I began to struggle. I kicked and twisted and tried to throw my body, but I couldn't move. I couldn't move at all. I was trapped, paralyzed. I tried my best, but I could not break free. So I did what anyone would do in this situation. I screamed. I screamed with all my might. I thought that if my family was alerted, maybe they could stop it, it'd go away, or at the very least, they'd surely see what happened to me. But to my absolute dismay, no sound came out of my mouth. I tried again, but the same result. By now, the figure was almost at the foot of my bed. I continued to cry out for help. In my head, I was screaming like a madman, but in reality, not a sound could be heard. I looked up and it's here. The figure is at the foot of my bed. Only now it's not smiling. Now it looks even more terrifying. Its teeth are aligned jaggedly, and I know it's going to sound stupid, but it looked hungry. I continued to struggle, It got closer and closer until it was right in front of me, at the side of my bed. I was frozen. It leaned in until it was face to face with me. And it was at this point I thought my life was over. It reached its arms out toward me, and it screamed a blood-curdling scream. I tried to close my eyes and prepare myself to be ripped apart, but no, nothing. Just like that, it was gone. I looked around my room with my heart thumping so hard I thought it would escape my ribcage. I was sweating profusely and was completely afraid. I scanned the room, but it was empty. I turned on the light, still nothing. I didn't sleep the rest of the night, my light stayed on. The previous night's ordeal haunted me for the next day and I couldn't focus. I just wasn't myself. I tried to talk about it with my aunt, but she just blew me off and said it was a bad dream and maybe a demon that had taken a liking to me. I dreaded going to bed all day, and when night came, I wasn't prepared. I was terrified. I decided I wouldn't sleep in fear of whatever I saw would return. I tried my hardest, but eventually I began to drift away, and I struggled. My eyes became heavy, and tears began streaming down my face. I couldn't face it. Whatever that thing was, it had shaken me to my very core. It might sound silly to some, but I genuinely believed that when I fell back to sleep, that my life would be in serious danger. I sobbed and cried myself to sleep. The next morning, I woke up, and I was fine. No figure, no traumatic experience, nothing. Later on, I would learn about sleep paralysis, as I did end up suffering from it quite a few years, and I ended up doing some research, which confirmed it all to be just sleep-related hallucinations. Eventually, I did discover tricks to overcome the experience, and it works. If you too experience sleep paralysis, try researching it like I did. Good luck. I'm 33 and I have a son named Jeffrey. He's 8 years old. Recently, I was able to save enough money to buy Jeffrey a PS4 for his birthday. 3 days before Jeffrey's birthday, I went on Amazon and bought a PS4 bundle that came with FIFA 20, Last of Us, God of War, Madden, and Fortnite. I ordered it so it would be delivered on Jeffrey's birthday to surprise him. On the morning of Jeffrey's birthday, I looked outside and saw an Amazon delivery van pull up to my house. Once he knocked at the door, I told Jeffrey to answer the door, as it was a surprise for him. This was something I regret, because once the door opened, a man stood there holding the PS4, and the way he looked at Jeffrey didn't sit right with me. He just stood there with a really weird smile staring at my son with wide eyes. I could tell Jeffrey was feeling uncomfortable as he looked up at me in an unsettling and confused way. I thought the man would just hand us the PS4 and leave, but the way he was staring at my son, I had to step in. I signed for it and I said thank you. The man just said bye, but he wouldn't look at me. He kept his eyes on my son, who was now behind me. My son and I were both a little put off by that man, but Jeffrey was happy with his new PlayStation and went to set it up in his room. The following Monday, I picked Jeffrey up from school and asked him how his day was. He told me the usual stuff he always says, what he learned, what lessons he had, but one of the things he said scared me. He told me during one of his breaks when they had recess, it was a man. He had got his attention through a fence that was hidden by some bushes in the field where the children spend their break times. I asked Jeffrey what the man said to him. He told me the man was being friendly, asking him where his friends were, when the school let out, and even if he wanted to go to his house afterwards. I asked if he knew this man, and if he had seen him before. He said, yeah. It was the man who delivered his PlayStation on his birthday. And not only that, he saw the man walking around outside watching our house from across the street. I asked Jeffrey when the man was outside our house. He told me in the evening over the weekend, he would look outside his bedroom window and see the man standing there across the street waving at him, smiling. I straight away called the school and warned them about the man hanging around the school. I also told the delivery service and the police. I told them what my son had told me. The next 2 days, I kept Jeffrey home from school. I was so paranoid and worried, I didn't want to let him out of my sight. That following Wednesday night, I woke up a little past midnight. I hadn't been sleeping well. I went to check on Jeffrey and then went downstairs to pour myself a glass of water. I then jumped out of my skin when I saw a black figure outside the back door. and saw that the figure had tried the back door handle, but it was locked. I looked out the window trying to see who it was, but there was no one there. Then across the road, I saw a car started and took off down the street. I called the police telling them someone had tried to enter my house. I got no sleep that night, and I'm still having trouble sleeping. This all took place about 2 weeks ago, and we haven't had any incidents since, but I'm still paranoid and frightened that this isn't over.
One evening when I was in my junior year of high school, my mom and dad went out, leaving me home alone. I had a lot of homework to do, so I spent the whole evening sitting at a desk in my bedroom. My parents left the house around 6 p.m. When I was doing my homework, I put on my headphones and I listened to loud music. There was a big storm that night, and my desk was facing the window, so I could see the rain and the lightning outside. My parents got back around 11 p.m. When I saw their car drive up, I took off the headphones. As soon as my mom opened the front door and came inside, I heard her shout out my name. "What on earth happened in here?" she demanded in an angry voice. Confused, I ran downstairs. My mom was standing in the hallway with a furious look on her face. She pointed at the floor and yelled, "Was this you?" I looked down and I saw that the carpet was covered in muddy footprints. "I have no idea how those got there," I said. "I spent the whole night at my desk doing my homework." I watched as the look on her face changed from anger to confusion and then to fear. We both realized at the same time that someone else must have been in the house. We followed the trail of footprints, trying to make sense of the whole situation. They started at the back door, which we usually left unlocked. Then we noticed something else. The footprints started at the back door, but there was no trail of footprints leaving through the back door. All of a sudden, we hear something loud, a pounding noise that echoed throughout the house. Then the sound of the front door being wrenched open and slammed shut again. We all ran into the garage and locked the door behind us. My mom took out her cell phone and called the police. She told them to come quickly as she shouted that someone's in our house. After what seemed like hours, a patrol car arrived with two police officers, a male and a female. One officer stayed with us in the garage while his partner went through the house, searching room by room. When she came back, the female officer told us that there was no one in the house and it was safe to go back in. As we were all breathing a high sigh of relief, she asked, "Whose bedroom is upstairs on the left?" My parents looked at me. "It's mine," I told the officer. She asked us to follow her. As we walked through the house, we could see the trail of muddy footprints leading from the back door through the living room, through the hallway, up the stairs, into my parents' bedroom, then towards my room. They stopped at my doorway. The female officer pointed at my door, which had been open the whole night. Scrawled on it in black marker was the following: 8:47, I see you. 8:53, you forgot to lock the back door. 8:59, you seem focused. 9:24, turn around. 9:47, look at me. 10:15, look at me. 10:37, look at me. 10:49, look at me. For more than 2 hours, someone had been standing in my doorway, watching me. To this day, I still shudder to think what would have happened if I had just turned around.
When I was 10 years old, I stayed at home by myself for the first time while my parents went out for a date. I was really into horror movies, so my imagination ran wild, so I had every light on in the house. I was scared, honestly, but not so much due to the lights. My parents told me they would be back by 10, so I wasn't really worried. I had food, Blockbuster movies to watch, and my favorite game, Manhunt, on my PS2. By the way, this was 2004. It started to get dark outside when all of a sudden a storm hit. And the lights went out. As soon as it happened, I ran into our living room near the front of the house with my flashlight. I was definitely afraid now. I decided to get under the covers on the couch. I tried to fall asleep, but I was so afraid I couldn't. I don't know why, but I peeked out from under the covers, and I swear, I saw the silhouette of a man in the corner of the room. I jumped back under my covers, breathing heavily. Then all I heard was slow, methodical footsteps. They were coming toward me. Then I heard whispering along with the footsteps. My heart was pumping out of my chest at this point. Then the sound stopped. I just laid there frozen. No sound.
Go!
I got up and ran out of the house because it felt like someone touched my arm. And I know I heard someone yell the word go. I pretty much ran out of the house with the blanket over my head. I ran to my neighbor's house. I told them what happened and they called the cops from their cell phones. The police say that there was no evidence of a break-in. I still to this day remember that feeling of fear, but I really don't know if it were my imagination or not. Recently, we all know what has been going on around the world. The coronavirus. Well, this story took place on April 3rd, 2020. I live in Akron, Ohio with my mother. My mother is a nurse and she works in Cleveland Clinic Hospital at night, 5 days a week. On this day, my mother went to work at 8 p.m., so I was there by myself. I'm 17, so I'm more than capable to stay home. I decided to make myself some dinner right after my mother left because she told me to fend for myself. By 9 o'clock, I was getting ready to sit down to eat when I heard a knock at the door. I looked at my phone and double-checked the time, and sure enough, it was 9:04 p.m. I thought it was weird being that it was so late. I looked through the peephole, and it was some random guy I'd never seen before. I asked him what he wanted, and he asked me if Gigi was home. I told him that no Gigi lives here. He then said, oh. And then asked me if I was sure. I said I'm positive. He took out a picture and put it up to the peephole and told me that it was Gigi in the picture. At this point, I should have told him again that she's not here, but I didn't. I told him that I can't see it through the peephole, and he proceeded to tell me that I should open the door so that he can show me the picture. I told him that I don't know about that due to the quarantine. He kept asking me, so I said fine. I grabbed my mask and opened the door. But I kept my chain on. But as I was opening the door, I swear this guy slightly pushed it. Then he looked surprised when it didn't open. I asked him what he was doing, and he said, my bad, I tripped. I said, no you didn't. You weren't even moving, and I slammed the door. I looked back through the peephole, and he took off running. I kept looking outside for about 20 minutes just in case he tried to come back. So now an hour went by, and as soon as I stopped thinking about that creepy guy, there was another knock at the door. Again, I looked at the time and it said 10:32 p.m. I looked through the peephole and there was a young woman with a white dress with dark hair over her face just standing there. I can barely see her face due to her hair, but it looked like she had dried up tears. I asked, what do you want? She said,
we are.
Then she stopped mid-sentence and looked behind her, then corrected herself in a very monotone voice.
I'm from a group that's testing people in your area for the coronavirus. Can you let me in to test you? It's very important to get tested.
I don't think she noticed the peephole on my door. She looked behind her again and whispered to someone, but I couldn't see who it was. Then I saw the same guy from earlier walk from behind her and headed to my backyard. I ran to my back door to make sure it was locked, looked outside, but I didn't see him. I ran back to the front door and looked back through the peephole, and the girl was just standing there staring at the door, not moving, not even blinking. Then I heard someone messing with my back door. It was the guy from earlier, alone with another guy. I screamed that I'm calling the cops. Then I heard them run away. Then I could see them out my side window running. I looked back in the front and I saw them dragging the woman away. It looked like she didn't want to go with them. The police came over and insisted that it was a prank. Since then, I purchased a gun from a guy that lived around the corner from me. And I'm ready for anything now. This happened a few weeks ago. I was hanging out with my friend Dustin, and we decided to go explore this creepy old abandoned asylum. It was a huge building, about 3 stories high. We walked past the railroad. We then continued to the old asylum. As we walked to it, I looked up and my heart dropped. From the 3rd-story window, I could see someone looking down at me and Justin. I stopped and he asked me what was wrong. I told him to look up in that window on the right. He looked up and saw it too. We continued to stare at it for about a few seconds before whoever or whatever it was moved out of sight. We then were deciding if we should still go in. We settled it. It was just some person trying to buy drugs or something. Drug deals and teams were always in there sneaking. We went past no trespassing signs and explored the 1st level of the building. There was a lot of broken glass and graffiti everywhere. There was this one that said, "I love it when they run." Don't get me wrong, that was kind of creepy, but obviously done as a joke. So we made it up to the 2nd floor, and basically the same thing there, except for an old elevator shaft that was cracked slightly open. Dustin turned his flashlight on and put it in the elevator. We saw a whole lot of electrical junk, some dead birds and animals. If that wasn't freaky enough, we also heard something walking above us on the 3rd story. My heart felt like it was about to explode. I had a bad feeling about this, and I told him we should leave. He said, "Nah, it'll be fine," and he started walking up to the 3rd story. I didn't want to be left alone near the spooky elevator, so I followed behind him. We had our phones out, taking pictures of all kinds of stuff on the previous floors. As we walked up the stairs, I swear we were being followed, and I told Dustin to hurry up. He went upstairs, and I wasn't far behind. What I saw on the 3rd floor of that asylum will haunt me for the rest of my life. There were pentagrams and animals all over the place. It smelled awful up there. There were some rooms in the back of the corner. Keep in mind, this is the floor we saw that thing looking down at us from. We heard what sounded like whispers coming from the middle room. We got our phones out and started taking pictures of it. After I got about 2 or 3 pics, I saw a figure step out of the room. My heart was beating so hard I swear it had come through my chest. It was the same person that was looking from the window. Me and Dustin were freaking out, but we didn't dare move. About 10 seconds of staring, and it started sprinting at us, screaming. I took off in a sprint down the stairs, almost dropping my phone. I ran and jumped out of the 2-story window and landed in some brush. I got up and ran some more before crouching behind some old shed. Then it hit me. Dustin was still in there. I hadn't even noticed him when I ran down the stairs. I texted him and asked him where he was, but didn't reply. I sat crouched behind that shed for about 3 minutes before I saw Justin sprinting out of that house. I jumped from behind the shed and called his name. He saw me and screamed, "Run." He looked behind him. Then I looked behind him. He was being chased by 2 people. I took off down the road, heading for the railroad. Dustin caught up with me, and we didn't stop until we made it to the tracks. We jumped in a ditch beside the railroad and looked up to see the 2 people standing at the door of the asylum. They were watching us, but then turned and walked back inside. We ran up to the local burger place and sat down at a booth. Out of breath, we ordered some Sprite and fries. While waiting for food, I asked him what happened after I ran. He said the guy chased him, and he ran down the stairs and saw me jump out of the window, and he ran to the elevator, where he found a small space behind some boxes to hide behind. He said after he sat there for a bit, the guy came down the stairs with another person. They were watching to see where we went. Then his phone went off because I texted him. He said they looked his direction and saw him. They then chased him down the stairs and out the door. And that's when I saw him when we ran. We didn't call the cops because we didn't want to get in trouble for trespassing. I don't know those guys, and I don't know what they were doing in that building, but needless to say, I don't think me or Dustin will ever go back there again.
My name is Stan. I'm 17 years old, and this story happened about 4 years ago. The school I went to was in a very rural area in my village. My friend Peter went to the same school, but I lived further away. His mom would always drop him off near my house, and we would always walk to school together. On our way to school, we would always pass some farms, and one of them had this really old, creepy house that was abandoned for years. One day, me and Peter said we should check it out and see what's in there, basically. We couldn't go after school because, like I said, Peter lived further away, and his mom needed to get him home. This was also during the winter, so it got dark sooner. So myself and Peter, we came up with the plan that Peter would have a sleepover around my house. And when my parents were asleep, we would sneak out and explore the abandoned farmhouse. It was Friday, and the past few days have been snowing. After school, Peter came to my house. We spent the evening playing video games and looking up creepy videos on the internet, anxiously waiting to sneak out. 1 a.m. rolled around, and we put our coats on and snuck out my bedroom window, which is ground level. We had one flashlight between the both of us, which Peter managed to sneak out of his dad's garage. We walked through the farm fields and made it to the house. Naturally, the first thing we did was try to open the front door, but it was locked. We looked around at a few of the windows, and one of them was smashed open. So we used this as our entrance. Surprisingly, the place seemed rather untouched for how long it had been rumored to be abandoned. It was just covered in dust and had a really strong smell. Not bad necessarily, but it did smell odd. I shone my flashlight to the top of the stairs. I couldn't see anything, but it seemed really eerie up there. And then I heard wood creaking. It kind of sounded like slow footsteps, but I wasn't certain. Peter then said, "We should check upstairs." I told him I'm not going up there. There's probably some maniac up there waiting to kill us. The next thing that happened was the phone rang. One of those really old phones made myself and Peter jump out of our skin. At that time, I didn't think about it, but I thought it was weird of how someone was calling this house and it was abandoned. I picked it up, and I said in a nervous voice, hello? For a second there wasn't any response. And then a man spoke on the other end saying, "I'm not a maniac. Why don't you come upstairs and see for yourself?" At that point, loud, heavy footsteps ran across the upstairs room and toward the top of the stairs. Peter and I ran out the farmhouse as fast as we could. We ran out down to the farm. I glanced back to see if there was someone chasing us, but there wasn't. So I told Peter to slow down so we could catch our breath for a second. After taking a better look at the house, one of the upstairs lights was on, and there was a dark figure standing at the window, watching us. I didn't know what to think, and honestly, I was terrified. The light then turned out, and the both of us made our way back to my house. We managed to sneak back inside without making my parents wake up. Peter didn't say much. I think he was too creeped out as to what just happened. And to be honest, I didn't feel like talking either. I was actually quite paranoid that, I don't know, that guy was going to follow us to my house. Thankfully, at least to what I know of, we weren't followed. From that night on, every time me and Peter walk to school, we look at that creepy farmhouse. We can't help but feel someone's looking back at us.
I remember several years ago, I was working night shift in the warehouse one night. I was at work just starting my shift, but they sent me home early because they didn't have any work for me to do. A few hours later, I was home playing Call of Duty Black Ops. My stepfather was away in the living room watching some old Western movie, and suddenly, we heard someone pounding on the side door. We went to check it out, and there was a man banging on the door, and he just wouldn't stop, honestly. I couldn't quite get a good look at the man. I went to my room to grab my shotgun, and I went back to the door, and it was open. I see my stepfather outside yelling at the guy. He told him to get away from the house, and it's 1 in the morning. The guy wouldn't leave, so I stood by the window with the shotgun in my hands. My stepfather came back inside and called the police and told them there was a man on our property and he won't leave. The intruder slowly took off shortly after. The man was chubby and wearing a white tank top, a cowboy hat, and blue jeans. He was also drunk from the way he was looking. He was walking sideways. I looked out of my bedroom window and I saw the police car slowly passing the house. Then about 45 minutes later, they came to let us know that they found him. He tried to run from them, but he puked and fell on the ground. The cops cuffed him and put him in the cruiser. The man was charged with intoxication and disturbing the peace. My stepfather requested a restraining order so the man wouldn't be back. About a month later, the man was found dead in his home. Apparently, he died of a heart attack. My stepfather said, "Good riddance." My name is Chelsea, and this happened in 2008. I would go to work, come home, cook dinner for my husband, then lay on the couch every day. I'm pretty ugly, so my husband doesn't really interact with me so much. So I would constantly look up weird stuff on my laptop to keep myself entertained. So one day, my friend came over on my day off while my husband was at work, and I told her how bored I was with all of this garbage on the internet. She mentioned what we know now as the dark web and began explaining it to me. She let me know that drugs are sold there, hitmen are advertised there, and that I can watch weird and crazy videos on there. Something like YouTube, but for the sick and demented. I told her I want to check it out, so we did. We went on this website called CoolTube. At first, the videos were boring. Then the weird stuff began to be recommended. I clicked on a channel called Leprechaun Charlie. We watched a video of a guy slowly fading away, if you know what I mean. He was laying in the bed and looked very sick. He was breathing rapidly with his stomach going up and down fast. Then it just stopped. Then there was a man that walked from behind the camera, what looked like a man. He was dressed like a leprechaun. He was also a very small person, what we call little people. He walked on a stool to see on the bed because he was so short. He looked down at the guy, walked out of the view of the camera, and came back with a pot. It said the word gold on it. He smelled the pot, looked at the camera, and said that it smells like gold, and he laughed. He stood over the body that was on the bed and turned the pot upside down. A clump of what looked like chocolate came out of the pot and landed on the person in the bed. The rest of the chocolate in the pot was coming out slowly. It looked stupid. We paused the video and wrote a comment that said, "This is foolish and fake. It wasn't in my name, so what's the harm in commenting?" Not even 20 seconds later, Leprechaun Charlie replied and said, "We'll see, Chelsea." I was surprised that he knew my name, and I asked my friend how he knew my name. She told me that he could have possibly used my IP address, but I thought that was hidden. So, of course, we got off. Weeks go by, then I receive an email from a very weird email. Usually, I wouldn't open emails from weird names, but the subject said Leprechaun Charlie. When I opened it, all it said was, "We'll see." I immediately called my friend because she was the only person that knew about this. I told her and she seemed shocked, but I laughed it off and I blamed her, but she denied it. The next night, while sitting in my front living room, I saw something out the corner of my eye run across my lawn, then behind a bush. I looked out, but I thought I might have seen a raccoon. We had a lot of those, especially at night. A few minutes later, I received another email from a weird email again with the same subject, Leprechaun Charlie, with an attached video. I clicked on it, laying down on the bed with my friend. Then the leprechaun guy appeared from behind the camera. He had a pot in his hand like last time. He smelled what was in it and said it smelled like gold. He walked over to my friend, and she began to scream, then I turned it off. I sat there in silence for about a few seconds. I moved my curtains back and this guy was dressed like a leprechaun, just standing there. He then began to scream for me to watch the whole video. I screamed and my husband ran downstairs. I told him what happened and that someone was outside the window. He ran out there, but no one was there. I called my friend, but she never answered. We called the police and they thought I was crazy until I told them to check my friend's apartment. I went there when the police did, and she was passed out and chained up on the living room floor with what looks like chocolate all over her until the smell hit us. It definitely was not chocolate. The email and the video disappeared. This still haunts me years later, and she's still scarred mentally. I have not been on the dark web since. I'm 15 years old, and I prefer my full name was not revealed, but my name is Luke. This happened to me about 2 weeks ago while I was quarantined because of the coronavirus. Since there has been no school, I've been able to stay home a lot more. On a Friday night, my parents went to go visit my older brother, who is 25, in the city to check on him while I stayed at home because I wasn't feeling well. At around 10 o'clock, my mom texted me that they would be staying the night at my brother's house and would be back in the morning. I started to feel better and stayed up late a couple more hours playing video games. Then I heard my backyard gate open. My window was right by the backyard, but I thought it could have been my dad. But then I heard a voice I didn't recognize by my window. I couldn't understand what they were saying, but I immediately got scared. I started searching for my phone, but I couldn't find it. And since we didn't have a house phone, my iPhone was the only way to contact my parents. I started hearing pounding on my back door, which gave me goosebumps. I turned off my computer and crawled under my bed. I heard three more pounds on the door until it finally burst open, and I heard the intruders enter my house. I knew I had to arm myself in case they found me, so I grabbed a screwdriver by my nightstand. As I did this, I heard the voices of three men speaking Spanish. As I went to crawl back under my bed, I knocked down my book on my dresser, and it made a loud thud. Then I heard more Spanish and someone walking. They were walking towards my bedroom. I hid under my bed. As I saw someone enter my room, I was afraid. I covered my mouth as I watched the figures search around my room for about 30 seconds, until giving up and leaving. Put my ear down to the floor, and I heard rustling going on in the basement, and loud yells in Spanish as if two men were arguing. I then finally found my phone on the floor under my sweatshirt and informed the police of my situation and whispered as much as I could. I asked the operator if I should run, but the lady told me to stay hidden. In like 5 minutes, I heard the police sirens move toward my house, and the three Spanish men began scurrying up the stairs. I heard all of them exit the back door and towards the back gate. After hearing that, I hung up and got from under the bed and went toward the living room. As I heard an officer knocking on the door, calling out police, I ran towards the door until from behind I was tackled by someone. I let out a scream as someone's hand covered my mouth and began choking me with their arm. The officer kicked down the front door and aimed his gun at me and yelled at the man choking me to let me go. The man let me go and I almost threw up. Another officer entered and escorted me outside where I explained everything. The officer from earlier brought in the guy who choked me, who was bald, had a black goatee, and tattoos all over his neck. He cursed me out and told me that if the cops didn't show up, he would have killed me. I finally called my parents, who came home in less than an hour, where the officer explained to my dad that they entered the backyard because the back gate was not locked, and they bust through my door because I didn't use the chain lock. As the police checked out the house, they saw that the kitchen and basement pantry had been raided, along with some valuables, like some of my mom's jewelry. Unfortunately, the two other men still have not been caught, and I haven't heard anything since. I spoke with my dad afterwards, and he believed that they were stealing food because of the virus, but the part that puzzled me is why they would rob houses if people were at home. My dad has become a lot more paranoid since that situation, locking every door, and is set to installing security alarms and cameras. And I'm very glad that he did that, because I'm afraid that the one guy who was arrested
will come back and fulfill his wish to kill me. Took place when I was 13. My mother was a single mom and she had to work two jobs. So I was home alone a lot, but it was okay because I was used to it. One night, I was watching TV while eating ice cream and someone knocked at the front door. I was wondering who it could be as my friends never came out this late and my mom would always use her key to get in. I opened the door and it was a man standing there with his hands in his pockets. I said, hello. He replied, hello, young lady. Are your parents home? Stupidly, I said, no. My mom isn't home right now. You have to come back tomorrow. He then said with a surprised smile on his face, oh, you're all alone, huh? I said, yeah, I am. He replied with, okay, young lady. Have a nice night. Don't get into any trouble. He then walked away and I closed the door. He seemed friendly, but also weird at the same time. He was a little funny looking though. He was balding and had 70 style glasses on, with a mustache and bags under his eyes like he never slept. About 10 minutes passed, and there was another knock at the door. I got up to answer it. But before I opened the door, something told me to put the chain on. I don't know why, but my gut told me to do that. It was strange because we really didn't use the chain. But I'm glad I did because as soon as I opened the door, it was pushed open, but abruptly stopped by the chain. Before I could even say or do anything, I looked through the crack of the door to see the same man again. And he said in a startled voice, Oh, hey there. I just wanted to make sure you were okay, as he stuttered. It was like he knew he failed getting inside the house and tried to play off this any suspicion by speaking quickly and making it seem like he didn't just obviously try coming into the house. I said, I'm fine, thanks, and I shut the door. At that time, I didn't really understand the situation or the dangers of what just happened. But still, I was a bit freaked out and wanted my mom to come home soon. An hour went by and I was still thinking about what happened, so I started to watch a movie, trying to keep my mind occupied when I heard,
hey, let me in quick. I gotta tell you something.
This was the scariest situation I've ever been in my life. It was the man once again. He was talking through the letterbox. I shouted, leave me alone. The letterbox closed. Then the man started banging on the front door, screaming, let me in, you little shit, while slamming the front door handle up and down, trying to get in. I just stood back crying, praying he doesn't get in. He eventually gave up and left. My mom came home about 30 minutes later, just to find me crying. And I told her everything that happened. We told the police, but they never found this guy. I looked back, and I think how grateful I am that I had the feeling to put the chain on the door. I hate to think what that man would have done if he had managed to get in. When I was 19 years old in 1985 on New Year's Eve, a bunch of my friends and I went to a rooftop bar of a hotel. About a half hour before midnight, I ran down to my car because I had forgotten my camera. I figured I would have plenty of time to get back up there and find my friends. I grabbed my camera, and I got into an elevator all by myself. About halfway up, the elevator started shaking and it stopped completely. I was trapped. I have always had a problem with confined spaces, so this was not an ideal situation for me. After a few minutes, everything went silent that was going on outside. Then out of nowhere, the elevator lights went out, and I started to hear children laughing. But this was not the type of place where children would be. My heart started beating faster and harder and harder. Then all of a sudden, I passed out. As I woke up, I noticed that I could not move or talk. I thought to myself, not sleep paralysis again. Then the light started to flicker on and off, and then all of a sudden, I see a black figure to the left of me in the corner of the elevator crouching down, smiling at me. I tried to scream, but nothing would come out. I tried to move, but I couldn't. A guy came over the loudspeaker and told me there was an electrical short and that he would have me out soon. There's a camera in the elevator, so to the security guard, it looked like I was just laying there. I guess they figured I was drunk, being that it's New Year's. Anyways, every attempt to scream or move, that figure would just start laughing at me and pointing. This whole time, the lights are flickering. Then all of a sudden, I can hear the huge crowds counting down for New Year's. 10. Their dark figure is staring at me, and now with a menacing smile, with 10 fingers up. 9. He's still looking at me with 9 fingers up, and he's moving closer. 8. He was still looking at me with 8 fingers up, and he's closer. 7. The same thing. 6. The same thing. 5. The same thing. 4. He's drooling, and he's much closer. 3. He's closer. 2. He was closer. Then the lights quit flickering, and it was pitch black. Then all of a sudden, outside went silent again. I felt breathing in my right ear. And then out of nowhere, I hear 1. I couldn't breathe. The light started to flicker again, and then the figure was on my chest. And all of a sudden, it was gone. And I can talk and move again. Usually when I have sleep paralysis, something bad happens. Once I got out of the elevator an hour later, I found out that there was a brawl during the countdown on the rooftop bar that I was at, and 4 people were killed by some maniac who was waiting until the end of the countdown to start hacking up people with a machete. Ever since then, I have not had a sleep paralysis episode. I used to frequently use TikTok watching trick shots, gaming posts, and other comedy clips. There is one guy who I followed though, but the clips he posted were very unusual. They weren't very nice, to be honest. He used to wear this featureless mask and do things like spy on people in their house and frighten them. He even went as far as to attack someone. I gotta say, I'm not sure if it was real or not, because the clips would end before you could tell. But it felt genuine to me. I'm not proud that I watched this guy harass and assault people, but I did. One day I noticed I had gotten a new follower on TikTok. It was the same guy that I just mentioned. At first I was a bit worried, but shrugged it off. I was in an underground parking lot after I was done grocery shopping. It was late in the evening, so the parking lot was practically empty. Well, it looked empty. But I could feel that there was someone there with me. I suddenly became very paranoid. That night I was scrolling through my TikTok and saw a clip that made my heart sink. It was me in the parking lot looking anxiously around my surroundings. It was by the same guy that had followed me on TikTok from earlier. The next 2 days were the same. I was very paranoid, thinking I was being watched and followed. And my suspicions were confirmed, because each night that guy had posted, it was clips of me. I felt sick and decided to call the police. Unfortunately, they said there wasn't much they could do, as no crime had been committed. A week went by, and the post stopped. I started to relax, thinking maybe he had just moved on, and it was all part of his prank thing or whatever. That was until I was attacked outside my house. I was hit over the head with something. I fell to the ground, nearly knocked out, but I was still conscious enough for a moment to see. What I saw will haunt me forever. It was a man standing over me with a featureless mask holding a phone up. I passed out, but the next thing I remember was waking up in a hospital. I was found by someone who lived nearby. I told the police of what happened, but his account had been deleted. Whether or not his clips were staged or fake, his assault on me certainly was real. The weird thing I don't understand is why he deleted his account after attacking me. Unlike the other people, I deleted my TikTok. And this incident and the experience has scarred me for life. I just want to tell you, be aware of your surroundings, because you never know who could be watching you. And honestly, I would stay off of TikTok and any other social media. This story happened to me a long time ago when I was 5, and it took place on my first day of school. The first day was introduction day, more like a morning where the parents would come in with their kids and talk with the teachers and that kind of thing. I remember my teacher talking with my mom, and I wandered off slightly down the hall just to look at some drawings that were pinned up. As I was looking at the drawings, I heard,
"Hey, they're pretty, aren't they?"
I turned around and saw a middle-aged man in blue overalls holding a mop while grinning at me. I didn't say anything. I just looked at him. He then crouched down and said,
"They're pretty just like you."
As he said this, he brushed my hair behind my ear with his long, dirty nails, still grinning at me while showing his yellow teeth.
"Would you like to come with me to do some drawing?"
He suddenly dropped his mop and grabbed my arm tight and started pulling me with him. At that point, I heard my mom calling my name, and as soon as the man heard her, he let go of my arm. I ran to my mom and gave her a hug. The rest of the morning was fine. I didn't mention what just happened to my mom. I think at the time I was too young to understand the danger of what just happened. I only attended the school for about 3 weeks before changing schools. I never really knew why we moved. My mom always told me it was to move to a better school, but it was only recently I found out the real reason. My mom had told me that the janitor that worked at the school was arrested for kidnapping and other things with a child, which was a few weeks after I started. I looked it up on the internet and I saw it to be the same man who pulled my arm and tried to get me to go with him. It makes me sick thinking about what could have happened if my mom didn't call out, or the man never let me go. My name is Charlie. I used to smoke a lot of weed back in the day when I was a teenager, but it became very bland and boring, but I also told myself not to try any other drugs. At school, my friend Christine told me that she heard the best weed was on the dark web. I knew a little about the deep and dark web, but I thought that drugs would be something geared more toward the deep web. Maybe I didn't know as much as I thought. My friend got with me later and told me she ordered me some weed. About a week later, I was at home by myself on a Friday night when someone knocked at my door. I went to the door and looked out of the peephole and saw some guy with a black t-shirt, black Yankees cap, with sunglasses on, and it looks like a box in his hands. I was immediately skeptical because it was 9 p.m. He didn't need sunglasses at night, and no one delivered packages this late. I didn't say anything because I figured he would just walk away. I called Christine to ask her how long that order would take, and she said about a week. I told her that there's a man outside my door with a package. Could that be him? She asked, "Why would someone be standing outside your door with weed?" Then all of a sudden, I heard,
"Hey, Charlie, I have your package. I know you're home. I see you through the window.
I turned around, and this man was standing on a patio on my back porch looking through the sliding door windows. I'm guessing this guy went from my front door to my back porch because I wasn't answering the door. I told my friend and she said to call the cops. He was trying to get in the back messing with the door handle. I hung up on my friend and I called the cops. I ran out of sight of this guy and I didn't hear him anymore. About 5 to 10 minutes later, the cops showed up. That box was outside my back door and written on it was, "You're lucky." And there was nothing in the box but paper. After that, I never spoke with my friend Christina anymore because, honestly, I didn't trust her. I thought she tried to set me up. Anytime someone brings up the dark web or even the deep web, I will either change the topic or I'll be quiet. I used to visit it occasionally, but after that situation, I've never done it again. Years ago, when I was in the fifth grade, my friends and I were walking home from school when we noticed some of the other kids laughing very loudly at something and running away like they were disgusted. We looked back and they were laughing at this woman who was walking behind us. We didn't know why because we saw her every day when we were walking home from school. We just never spoke with her or we never even seen her up close. We moved closer to see what was so funny, and we definitely noticed what the other kids were making ruckus about. This was a man dressed in a miniskirt with high heels on. The other kids were throwing sticks and rocks at it, but he never responded. He just smiled while he was walking. A few days later, I just so happened to be watching the news and I saw the same guy's face on the news. My friend who lives around the corner was getting her mail when she saw the man across the street watching her. He waved and he started skipping across the street like a little girl while loudly asking her, "Do you remember me?" She was one of the kids that threw rocks at him. She shut her door as he started running full speed toward her house while wearing a wig, miniskirt, heels and a woman's tank top. He started banging on her door until she called the police. He was caught within minutes. Anything could have happened to us that day with this guy roaming our neighborhood. But luckily, nothing ever happened to any of the kids that I knew. This story happened about 3 years ago. When I was 16, I had my first boyfriend, Ben, who just so happened to be my next door neighbor. For the first few months of dating, we were going fine, up until I had dinner at Ben's house one evening. His dad, Graham, gave me the creeps. From the first moment I ever met him, he was creepy to me. He shook my hand tightly and had a big grin on his face with his big, bulging eyes. At the dinner, I swear Graham never took his eyes off of me at all. Every now and then, I would glance over to see if he was still staring at me, and of course he was. From then on, I spent more time around Ben's house. We would watch movies in his room, play video games, or just study homework. Whenever I was at Ben's house, his dad would always be lingering around. Like he would always burst into the bedroom without knocking, asking things like, "How's everything?" or "I thought I heard you calling me." Basically an excuse to come in. It's like he wanted to catch us doing something, if you know what I mean. And whenever I would go to the bathroom, of course, he would try and come in, even though the door was locked. He would knock and say, "Oh, I didn't realize someone was in the bathroom." This creepy stuff went on for a while, maybe about 2 months, but there was this one incident that really scared me. Ben asked if I can go to the basement and grab a couple of pops. I went down there and looked around in the fridge to see what drinks they had. Then I heard the door close. It was the basement door. And then his dad came walking down the steps. He asked me what I was doing down there, and I told him I was just grabbing some pop for myself and Ben. I smiled and walked past him and headed up the stairs. I tried to open the basement door, but it was locked. His dad locked it behind him. I turned around and said, sir, could you help? The door is stuck. He didn't reply. I went back downstairs and I saw his dad with his top off rolling a can of Sprite on his body saying, it's a hot day, isn't it? I was extremely uncomfortable. And I asked once more, could you open the door because it seems to be stuck? I didn't say locked because I didn't want him to know I was uncomfortable. He said to me, here's the key, and placed it on a small table next to him. And then he said, come and get it. While smiling with his tongue rubbing against his teeth, I let out a nervous, awkward laugh as I thought he was joking. He wasn't. I crouched down to grab the key, but just as I did, I could feel his face near mine, and he was smelling my hair. I could hear him, really close, breathing in through his nose. As soon as I got the key, I sped, walked up the stairs to open the basement door. I just left at that point, and I went home and cried in my bedroom. I never told anyone this story, and I broke up with Ben shortly after this incident. We lived there for 2 more years after that, until we moved away. Every now and then, I would see his dad in his garden or something, and he would always give me that same creepy smile like he did in the basement. People call me Yaya. This happened to me when I was a young girl, maybe 7 or 8. It was a Saturday afternoon and my mother and I were at a mall shopping. We went from store to store, mostly for me. I was a spoiled kid. We went into a coat store, and I was pretty bored, so I would constantly walk away from my mother to play and stuff, as I did in every other store. My mother would always call my name, and I'd go running to her. This time, I was playing in a round coat rack. My mother called my name, and I ran out. I ran right into this older man. Then he grabbed me. He grabbed me by my wrists and asked me why I was running. I told him because I have to get to my mom. He then told me he could take me to her, but I said no, and he let go. It was weird because I saw this man in almost every store he went to, but he never had any bags. After that store, I had to use the bathroom really bad, so I went while my mother went to the food court. I sat down to use it for maybe a minute when someone else came in. The person walked right up to my stall. At this point, I was just looking at the person's shoes. They were men's shoes. I was confused of why a man would be in here. Before I could look up, the man said,
hey, Yaya, everything okay in there? I'll come in if you want me to.
It was the man from the stores. I looked up, and I could see his eyes peeking through the crack of the door. He then started shaking the stall. I began to scream. I've never been so afraid in my life. Then 2 women walked into the bathroom, and the man took off. These women took me to my mother and told the police. They found him due to the cameras. I don't know what his intentions were, but the police said he probably would have kidnapped me. Who knows? From that time on, I would never leave my parents' side while in public. When I was just a little boy, I had an imaginary friend. Well, at least I thought he was an imaginary friend. Today, I'm not so sure. I would see him from time to time around my house. He was a man and he lurked in the shadows. He was completely black from head to toe and his skin was charred and pockmarked, like a burnt match. I couldn't make out his face or any other features. All I could see were his red eyes. He had the most terrifying red eyes I've ever seen. And even now, when I think of them, it gives me the chills. He appeared at random and without any warning. I would be playing with my toys and all of a sudden he would be there. He never made a sound. He never said a word. He never did anything except stand there staring at me and smiling.
Then he would vanish as quietly as suddenly as he had come. As time went by, I got accustomed to his presence. It got to the point where he would just appear and I would just glance at him, then go back to playing with my toys. I could always feel his eyes as he was just standing ever so close and ever so far away at the same time. My family knew about him, but they never saw him themselves. My mother and father thought it was cute that I had an imaginary friend, but when I described him to them, they got a little creeped out. My sister was the only one who believed me. She's the only one who believed he was real, and she said it scared her. One time, I had just finished going to the bathroom and I started washing my hands. I was standing on a little stool so I could reach the sink. All of a sudden, I saw the man out of the corner of my eye. He was walking up the stairs. I called my sister and told her the man was here. She came running over, but just when I was about to point out the man, he walked backwards down the stairs until he was out of sight. When she left, he came creeping back up the stairs. I gave up trying to show him to people because he clearly did not want to be seen. Eventually, my parents moved out the house. I remember seeing the man with the red eyes watching us as we were moving and the van pulled away. He didn't follow us, and I didn't see him again after that. I dismissed him as a figment of my childish imagination. Years passed and I forgot about him. Then, one night, when I was 16 years old, I was walking upstairs to my bedroom. It was after midnight. As I was walking down the hallway, something emerged from one of the other bedrooms. It stepped out into the light and I realized, to my horror, that it was the man with red eyes. I stopped in my tracks and I froze. My heart was in my throat. He just stood there, staring at me. The red eyes burned bright and he flashed me a malicious smile. Then, still staring at me, he slowly walked across the hallway into my bedroom. If this was a movie, perhaps I would have chased him down and forced him to tell me who or what he was. Perhaps it would have ended in me fighting to the death, but this wasn't a movie. It was real life, and I did neither of those things. I simply turned around, ran back down the stairs, and fled from my house. I sat on a curb outside, shivering and shaking until dawn arrived. I haven't seen him again since then. I was a big Tinder guy a few years ago. Everywhere I went, I would update my location and then update, you know, my body count. Then I quit doing Tinder and stuck with Instagram. I know, they're completely different, and IG has a bunch of fake accounts. So I saw this girl commenting on all of my friends' pictures. Then she commented on mine. I also saw my friends replying, so I figured she was a real person because I looked on her page, and she had way more followers than people she was following. So I DM'd her. I definitely thought she wasn't going to reply, but she did within an hour. We talked for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and we made it official. She was pretty, had a degree, and a good job, as she said. I felt she was out of my league and too perfect. Every day she posted new photos, and I told my friends about her and they seemed pretty jealous, except for my friend Ryan. He said I was stupid because I never spoke with her, and I only messaged her. She invited me over because she said she can cook. Ryan told me to don't go. The rest of my friends said don't have any kids, and they would laugh. So I went over there, but not without Ryan calling me a clown first. The GPS says she lived about an hour away,
when I first started to talk to her. She told me that she lived in a nice neighborhood. But when I got there, there were people everywhere and the neighborhood was not that nice. When I stopped at the stop sign at the corner, people walked up to my windows and asked me, what do I need? But I pulled off really fast and got to the house. It was a duplex, so I messaged her, and she said to come up the stairs. It was about 9 at night, and people were everywhere just standing around. I knocked on the door, and I was definitely excited. The door opened, and to my surprise, it was a bald-headed white guy with a patchy beard, tattoos everywhere, including his head, with a tank top on. I asked, was Lisa home, and he said, yeah, come in. When I walked in, I was immediately hit with a musty smell mixed with cheese. He told me to sit down, and he sat down across from me on the couch. He said she'll be out soon. He asked me, did I want something to drink, and I said, yeah, sure. When I got up, I texted her, can she come out, please? She immediately said yes. The man came back in with two cups of juice. One for him and one for myself. Then I noticed that he put a phone down on the table next to him. So I acted like I sneezed and got some on my arm. Then I asked for a tissue. He went to get some tissue and he left his phone like I thought he would. I texted her back and to my horror, the phone rang. I looked on the caller ID and it was my name. I heard him coming back. He came back and we sat there for about a minute, and then the phone rang again because he never checked the message that I sent. He looked at the phone. I looked at the phone. Then we looked at each other. I postured up, and he calmly said, I guess you caught me. Then out of nowhere, he lunged toward me, attempting to grab me. I punched him, and he fell on his face. I ran out of there so fast and I never looked back. Yeah, I called the cops. And when they got there, the man was still knocked out. After that, I never went on dates with people that I met online again.
I'm 25 years old, and this story happened to me about 4 months ago. I was doing some late evening shopping at my local Sam's Club. I was looking for items to put in my new apartment and wanted to look at some TVs they had on sale. I think it was around 8 p.m. when I entered the store. The first thing I noticed before entering, however, was a man who stood there near the entrance. He gave me a very long, intense stare. He didn't look well at all. He looked very on edge and jittery. He was wearing a New York Giants cap, a black tank top that had holes in it, and skinny black jeans. He had a poorly shaven face and big red bags under his eyes. I remember looking around at some kitchen appliances when I noticed that the guy from outside was standing in the same aisle. I didn't think twice about it, but after I kept seeing him in almost every section of the store I went to, I wouldn't necessarily say he was stalking me, but it did raise some awareness. After picking up a few items, there was about 25 minutes left until the store closed. I walked over to the TV section and tried to pick out a decent TV that was on sale. I saw a TV that I liked, and then out of nowhere I heard a deep voice ask me, "You need some help, man?" I turned around and it was the guy who'd been lingering around me. So I answered, "No, that's okay, thanks," I replied in a firm voice. He then walked off without saying anything. I picked up a TV I liked and I went to check out. I started putting my items into the car. And the TV I tried to put in the back seat, but it didn't fit, so I had to put it in my trunk. Once again, the same guy from earlier came up to me asking me if I needed any help. I told him no, this time in a more impatient voice, and I quickly walked off with the shopping cart to put it back. Thankfully, after returning to my car, the guy had left and was happy to drive home. About 5 minutes into driving, I took a glance in my rearview mirror, and I saw those same baggy red eyes staring right back at me. Before I had a chance to do anything,
I felt a hand grab my face, covering one of my eyes, which made me lose control of my car. I crashed into a parked car. The man then climbed over and stole any change I had laying around, grabbed my wallet and keys before quickly running off. A passing car stopped to help me. Thankfully, I wasn't badly injured, only a few cuts and bruises. The Sam's Club and the police were informed of what had just happened. The police checked security cameras and found the guy just lurking around the parking lot most of the evening, trying to get into unlocked cars and looking for change on the ground. It also showed when I walked away to put the shopping cart back that the man snuck into my car and hid while my back was turned. I think he was some kind of drug addict. Maybe. Maybe he needed some money badly. I'm glad the only thing he took was some cash, even though he almost took my life. This story just happened last year. I work as a receptionist at a hotel, and we often hold high school proms here as we have a big hall and a stage. In order to get to the hall, you have to pass the reception desk. It was prom night, and it was already underway. All the students and teachers were in the dance hall. All the pictures had been taken, and the reception area was empty. At some point during the evening, someone approached the reception desk. I looked up to see a tall man standing there. He had a clean-shaven face, and his hair was greasy and tied back in a ponytail. He was also wearing a suit that was pretty old, and it was also dirty, along with some Adidas shoes. His eyes were wide open, and he said, "I'm here for the porn prom." At first, I thought he was kidding, but he looked dead serious. He accidentally said porn, then he said prom. I said, "Are you employed by the school?" He said, "No, I'm a student here." I still kept thinking he was joking. He looked to be in his late 40s, and he was telling me he was a high school student. So I asked him, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 17. No, 16. Yeah, 16. At this point, I thought he was on drugs or something. I said, "I'm sorry, but you don't look 16 at all." He just stared at me, not saying a word, with his eyes wide, staring right at me. He then leaned over to me and said, "I'll make you a deal. I have a big blade in my pocket. If I'm not 16, you can cut my finger off. If I am 16, I can cut your finger off." I didn't get the chance to say anything because he walked out right after he said that. I told my boss about what happened. He said to let him know if he comes back and he'll deal with it. I finished my shift around 12, and I went to get in my car. There was an envelope under my windshield wiper. Written on it was, "A deal is a deal." I opened the envelope to see a human finger. And I had a feeling that this wasn't his own finger due to it being another color. I never saw that man again, and I always wondered why he was trying to get into that prom. This story is from a female's point of view. When I was in college, I worked in an Applebee's to make ends meet. I worked there from freshman year to senior year, so I had some regular customers. I had one that tipped me the most, and his name was Larry. Anyways, one day, while at work, I received a friend request on Facebook from a guy that was really attractive. I checked his page out before I accepted it, and it seemed legit, and he was in my city. As soon as I accepted it, he messaged me and said, "Hey, thanks for accepting my request." That was usually code for creep when someone does that, but he was cute. I said no problem, and we continued to converse. Eventually, after a few days chatting, we decided to go on a date. I decided to meet at Chili's on a Friday at 6 p.m. because I don't know this guy, and maybe he's crazy. I arrived at the restaurant before him, and I messaged him to let him know that our table was under my name, and he said okay. After about 20 minutes, I messaged him back, but he didn't reply until 20 minutes later telling me that he wasn't going to make it. I was pissed, but I ordered and ate my food. I left and I drove home. When I got to my apartment, I walked up the stairs to get to my apartment and I hear something behind me. I get to my door, turn to my left, and I see a man standing at the bottom of the stairs looking at me. I look closer and I see that it's Larry, my customer at work. I frantically asked him, "What is he doing here?" And he told me it's okay. Always make sure you make it home safe. Then he said, "Sorry, I couldn't make it to the date." I said, "What?" I tried unlocking my door, but I dropped my keys, and he started running up the stairs yelling, "It's not what you think." I grabbed the keys, unlocked the door, and ran inside, closing my door behind me. He started banging on my door, telling me he was my best customer and he deserved me. I called the cops, and they caught him outside in my car, just sitting there calmly. After that, I deleted all of my social media and dating apps. Then I quit my job at Applebee's. Ever since that experience, I'm very paranoid of people's intentions, and I always carry a pistol.
My name is Kate. I'm 22 years old, and about 3 years ago, I got a job working at Sam's Club. My best friend, Mimi, who worked there before me, was the one who suggested that I apply there. Her job was to work on the cash register. Mine was to stock shelves and keep certain areas tidy. One day, a young man entered the store and started to make conversation with me. I would say he was around 25 years old. After some friendly chit-chat, he eventually said that I look like a model, and he has contacts within the modeling agencies. Honestly, I didn't believe a word he said. He was nice, but I wasn't about to fall for this. After many attempts of trying to persuade me to go with him to meet somewhere, to meet some contacts, he eventually gave up. He didn't leave the store, however, because about 5 minutes later, I noticed him talking to Mimi as she was working on the cash register. I was hoping she wouldn't fall for it, but unfortunately she did. At the end of our shift, we spoke about what the guy had said, and Mimi really believed that the guy could get her modeling gigs. I told her not to meet him, and she said she wouldn't. About a week later, she didn't turn up to work and wasn't answering calls or texts. In fact, she kind of went missing. It was about a week until I finally heard from her. She was in a hospital. Mimi had met up with the guy from the store. She wouldn't say what happened in detail, but what she did tell me was disturbing enough. She met up with the guy from the store in a very old, rundown apartment. There were two very large men, one skinny old guy. She was attacked. Two men drugged her, and she fell unconscious. And when she woke up, she was in extreme pain. The men she met up with knocked her out and took all of her belongings. The police said that she was lucky. I'm sorry that Mimi had to go through all of that, but thankfully she wasn't killed. But I'm glad it wasn't me that got lured into the man's sick plan.
About a year ago in my final semester in college, I worked at a department store in the mall. I didn't have a car yet, so I asked for the day shifts because it was a 2-hour bus ride back home. So basically, if I had a closing shift, I'd get done at 11 but not get home until around 1 a.m. But sometimes I'd be given a closing shift
much to my annoyance since I had class at 6 a.m. And my mother worries about me because who wants their kid on public transportation at night? My managers, being the jerks that they were, gave me a week of closing shifts, knowing my situation. I was pissed, but whatever. So one night, I had just finished my shift and I got on the bus. I sat in the middle of the bus and was minding my own business with my earbuds in. I usually did that because I didn't like people talking to me, so I made it look like I was listening to music. And I occupied myself by playing a crossword puzzle on my phone. About 5 seats behind me, I hear these guys speaking Spanish. Now my mother is Dominican, but people never know that I am, so while I understand a fair bit of Spanish, I don't speak it. So I hear them talking, but I don't pay any attention because it's rude to eavesdrop. All until they say, "That kid in front of us." Then my ears perk up. I keep my earbuds in so that they think I can't hear them. And I continue to listen. What they're saying is horrific. To paraphrase it, they knew my stop because they've been watching me for this week. And to put it simply, they were planning on snatching me. I heard them say that I'll disappear like the others. I was about 20 minutes away from home, so I knew I had to act quickly. Since I knew they could see me, they were 5 seats behind me, but like a cross, if that makes sense. I pretended to play on my phone, oblivious while I was actually texting my mom. Then all of a sudden, one of the guys moved 3 seats ahead of me, and the other one moved about 3 seats behind me. And we're the last ones on the bus. I text my mom, "Can you please meet me at the bus stop?" 5 minutes go by, no answer. We're getting closer to my stop, so I decided to call her cell. No answer. I'll call the house phone and she finally answers. At this point, it's about 12:30 a.m., so she was asleep. I try to talk as calmly as I can. This was our conversation. "Hey, Mom, did you get my text?" No. What's up?" "Oh, I sent you a picture of these jeans I'm going to order online when I get home. I really need your opinion, so I really need you to look, since the sale ends at 1 a.m. She gets the hint that I need her to look at her cell phone, so I say goodbye, and I hope for the best. I tied my Adidas very tight. We get to my stop, and I see my mom's car. I stand up. Then the man in front of me stands up. Then the guy behind me stands up. I snatch my stuff and I sprint to the door and I got off the bus with both men behind me, both yelling at each other to grab me. I didn't even look behind me. My mom sees the whole thing and jumps out of the car. I yell at her to get back in the car because they couldn't catch me. A hard ass. I jump in the car and I tell my mom, "Just go." I look in the rear view and I see the guy staring at the car. The next morning, I called my job, and I tell them that I quit. No more public transportation for me. Thanks to my mom for teaching me Spanish, and thanks to my mom for getting the hint. About 10 to 12 years ago, I was a drug addict living in Cleveland, Ohio. I usually spent my days smoking, drinking, and I was usually up to no good. I would go with whoever had the drugs, basically. One day, my friend and I were talking with this guy, and he said he had some dope on him, and he invited us to his house. It wasn't the first time I've seen him invite women over to his house to smoke and do other drugs. He seemed nice, but I didn't feel comfortable going with him, but I was. Then I saw another friend across the street, so I went over there to her. After that, I went home, and my friend went with him. The next day, his house was surrounded by police and news cameras. I didn't know why, but my friend ended up telling me that when they were in his house, this guy, Anthony, punched her in the back of her head and started to choke her. Then she woke up in a bed. She said next to the bed, she saw a woman's body with no head attached, but she decided not to scream because he was asleep right next to her.
She ended up crawling and getting out of the house. Literally running out of the house, barely clothed, and ended up calling the police. Eventually, they found 11 bodies of 11 different women in and around his house. Who would have known that man was a serial killer? His name was Anthony Sowell. I'm so glad that my other friend caught my attention right before I was going to his house. Who knows? I could have been one of those bodies. This happened pretty recent, about 3 weeks ago. Myself and three friends were hanging out at a shopping center one evening. We're messing around posting clips on TikTok. Then one of my friends started laughing, and I asked her what she was laughing at. She told me that guy behind us kept staring at me. When I turned around, it was some older guy just watching me. He had black sunglasses, a cap, an old Adidas tracksuit with scuffed up shoes, and had a disgusting looking beard. My friends thought it was hilarious, but I found it really weird. Then another one of my friends said, she thinks that guy lives on her street, about a few houses down from her. She said that he actually follows her on TikTok. At that point, I quickly got my phone out to check if he was following me, and he was. I had to block him because he seemed a bit creepy. We went to get McDonald's before we went home, and I received a message on TikTok from someone. It was that guy who had been following us. His name was Greg, and he wrote, "Why did you block me?" with two emojis. One was a crying face, and the other one was an angry face. He had actually created another account that day in the shopping center. I blocked that account as well, hoping that would be the end of it. I didn't mention it to my friends this time, knowing they would just laugh. That night, I was up late and had Netflix on in the background as I was chatting with my friends on Facebook while scrolling through TikTok. I got up to use the bathroom, and when I returned, I had three messages from my friends, all saying the same thing. All were things like, "Who's in your room?" and "What's up with your last post?" I asked them what they were talking about, and they told me to check my TikTok, so I did. It was a clip of my bedroom. It was a clip of someone picking up my phone and recording the inside of my room. At that point, I heard a creaking. Then I heard a man's voice say,
"Sorry, please don't scream."
And turned to see my closet door slightly open. I started to scream when the same guy who had been following us burst out of my closet and tried to cover my mouth. Thank God I screamed, and it was enough for my parents to hear. They came upstairs and my dad tackled the guy to the floor. The police were called and he was arrested. We were informed that the guy had straight up admitted to stalking and breaking and entering. One of my friends pointed out, if I go back and look at the post on TikTok from when we were in the shopping center, you can see Greg is in almost all of those pictures, somewhere in the background. I haven't heard what's going to happen to Greg yet, but I just hope he won't ever come near us again.
One evening when I was in my junior year of high school, my mom and dad went out, leaving me home alone. I had a lot of homework to do, so I spent the whole evening sitting at a desk in my bedroom. My parents left the house around 6 p.m. When I was doing my homework, I put on my headphones and I listened to loud music. There was a big storm that night, and my desk was facing the window, so I could see the rain and the lightning outside. My parents got back around 11 p.m. When I saw their car drive up, I took off the headphones. As soon as my mom opened the front door and came inside, I heard her shout out my name. "What on earth happened in here?" she demanded in an angry voice. Confused, I ran downstairs. My mom was standing in the hallway with a furious look on her face. She pointed at the floor and yelled, "Was this you?" I looked down and I saw that the carpet was covered in muddy footprints. "I have no idea how those got there," I said. I spent the whole night at my desk doing my homework. I watched as the look on her face changed from anger to confusion, and then to fear. We both realized at the same time that someone else must have been in the house. We followed the trail of footprints, trying to make sense of the whole situation. They started at the back door, which we usually left unlocked. Then we noticed something else. The footprints started at the back door, but there was no trail of footprints leaving through the back door. All of a sudden, we hear something loud, a pounding noise that echoed throughout the house. Then the sound of the front door being wrenched open and slammed shut again. We all ran into the garage and locked the door behind us. My mom took out her cell phone and called the police. She told them to come quickly as she shouted that someone's in our house. After what seemed like hours, a patrol car arrived with two police officers, a male and a female. One officer stayed with us in the garage while his partner went through the house, searching room by room. When she came back, the female officer told us that there was no one in the house and it was safe to go back in. As we were all breathing a high sigh of relief, she asked, "Whose bedroom is upstairs on the left?" My parents looked at me. "It's mine," I told the officer. She asked us to follow her. As we walked through the house, we could see the trail of muddy footprints leading from the back door through the living room, through the hallway, up the stairs, into my parents' bedroom, then towards my room. They stopped at my doorway. The female officer pointed at my door, which had been open the whole night. Scrawled on it in black marker was the following: 8:47, I see you. 8:53, you forgot to lock the back door. 8:59, you seem focused. 9:24, turn around. 9:47, look at me. 10:15, look at me. 10:37, look at me. 10:49, look at me. For more than 2 hours, someone had been standing in my doorway, watching me. To this day, I still shudder to think what would have happened if I had just turned around.
When I was 11 years old, I spent the night hanging out with my closest friend at the time. I left around 7 o'clock. He was about 15 to 20 minute walk away from my house. It was the month of December, so it was icy and dark outside. While I was walking down the long sidewalk, I had to make a turn halfway. Across the turn down the sidewalk, I noticed a man way further down. He was alone at the moment. 10 seconds later, a four-door car drove up to him. It was a long street till my turn, so I watched him talk to whoever was in the car. It sped off, and he just stopped, watching me as I walked. As I kept walking, all I heard was, "Hey you, come here, stop, hey you." So I freaked out. I started walking faster and then noticed he started running toward me. I started running for my life. Since the ground was covered in snow and ice, all I literally thought was, "Please, God, don't let me slip." I was crying, and I was running. He caught up extremely fast. I kept looking back and noticed the car slowly driving behind him. As I ran, I felt his arm reach out and try to grab the hood of my sweatshirt. By God's grace, his hand slipped, and I ran a block trying to find a house with the lights on. I finally found one and banged at the door, almost ready to break it down. This older couple finally answered, and I ran inside explaining what happened. The husband then went outside to try to find him. When he went out, he saw the man standing at the end of the street staring at him. Then he ran off. My mom called the police and pulled me out of school for 4 days afterward, and this guy was never found. For a while after, I would buy flowers and a card and leave it on the couple's step. thanking them for saving my life. God only knows what would have happened if he got me and dragged me to the car. This story happened about 4 years ago. Me and my wife Rachel had just moved into a nice house. About 2 days after moving in, we met a middle-aged couple, Dennis and Laura. They were friendly and were nice neighbors, and we would often go over to their barbecues and evening dinners. We went to their house one night for dinner, and it went fine. We talked and laughed and got on great as usual. At one point during their dinner, I needed to go to the bathroom, and I excused myself. As I was walking, Dennis stopped me and said I needed to use the bathroom upstairs. I should mention that whenever me and my wife needed to use the bathroom, we always used the downstairs bathroom. This would be the first time going upstairs, actually. I had to try a few doors to see which one was the bathroom. I eventually opened the door to Dennis and Laura's bedroom. I don't know why, but I just wanted to have a little look around. As nosy as it was, I'm glad I did. I was looking at the pictures on the nightstand, a few of Dennis and a few of Laura together, some of their children, and then one that took me by surprise. It was a picture that we had taken a few months ago. It was the four of us together. Only my wife's face was scratched out. I thought that's really sick and odd, and it was obviously done deliberately. After seeing this, it made me more curious to see what else was in their room. I opened up the few drawers to see the same thing, that same picture with my wife's face scratched out or cut out of the photo. Just hundreds of them in their drawers. I felt pretty sick with worry at this point, but my curiosity got the best of me, and I decided to look some more. I opened up their closet, and what I saw gives me the chills to this day. It was a mannequin, with clothes very similar to what my wife wears. A large printed picture of her face was covering the head. This was creepy enough, really creepy. But what made it even more scary is, the mannequin was covered with knives and stabbed into the chest of the mannequin. I quickly put everything back to how it was and closed the closet door. I went back downstairs and I tried to act as normal as I could, even though I wanted to be sick with what I just saw. After a very weird and awkward evening, I was relieved to get away from them and get back home. I didn't tell my wife. I didn't tell her what I saw, but I told her to never speak to them again. And the strange thing is, Dennis and Laura completely avoided us and were pretty hostile towards us ever since. I have an awful feeling that somehow they knew what I just found out. We moved out of that house about 3 months after that. We never seen them again.
My name is Chris, and this story happened to me last year when I was traveling with my dad across the United States. We were traveling in our RV. We were visiting Nevada. And of course, we had to go and check out Area 51. By the time we got there, it was pretty late and quite dark out. So we thought we would just park the RV, sleep, and check it out in the morning. That night, I think around 1 a.m. my dad was asleep, and I was playing some games on my iPad when I heard some footsteps outside our RV. I took one of my earplugs out so I could listen better, and it sounded like someone was slowly pacing. I took a subtle peek through our blinds. It was pitch black, but you could kind of see something moving. I woke my dad up telling him someone is out there. He took a look out the window and then told me to get a flashlight. I asked him, "You're not going out there, are you?" In a concerned voice, of course. But my dad said, "We have to see what it is." Nervously, we both went outside. We shined our light towards the figure. It looked to be a man with his back toward us. My dad spoke out, "Hello?" No answer, or even any movement. My dad spoke again, "Hello, can you hear me?" As we slowly got closer, you could see the man was wearing some kind of gown, like a hospital gown that patients wear. The man was still unresponsive. We got close enough to tap him on the shoulder, and the man slowly turned around. He looked kind of pale, as like a ghost, and his eyes were black, like they weren't even human. He stared right at us, and my dad stepped back in shock. Then we heard a noise. It was more footsteps. My dad shined his light in a direction, and what was right in front of us were more men. Men in patient gowns, black eyes, looking right at us. Me and my dad ran back into the RV and drove as fast as we could away from Area 51. We spent the rest of the night in the motel we found. We never went back to Area 51 after that. About 10 years ago, when I was 12, I would always go into the nearby woods with my friends for most of the day. One night, we left pretty late. Usually I got home before dark, but today, I knew I wouldn't make it back, and I already knew my parents would be mad at me. We were walking in a group for a few blocks, and a couple of my friends split from us to go to their house. I started to notice that a van kept driving past us. I didn't think anything of it. And then my last friend split to go to her house. I had about 5 to 10 minutes left until mine. Then I see that van again, and it pulled up right beside me and stopped. The driver rolled down the front window. Then she told me that she can't find her son and she's been looking all evening. Then she asked me if I'd seen him. I looked and I said no. Then she asked me if I wanted to get in her van to help find him. I said no again, and I looked forward. Then she asked me, "Am I sure?" I didn't answer and I started to walk faster. Then all of a sudden, there was some guy in her back seat that said, "Mr. Fucking Snatcher." I looked at the van for a split second as the woman looked in the back seat and she sped up to park on the side of the street. I started running through yards. I heard the doors open and shut on the van, but I didn't look back until I got home. Nobody followed me. I told my parents and we called the cops. I never missed curfew after that. A few years ago when I was in college, I would take odd jobs to pay my half of the rent. One day in particular, I was babysitting a set of twin boys that were 3 years old. The mother told me she hired me because she would only hire men due to her crazy ex-husband. I was confused when she told me that, so I asked why. She showed me a picture of him and said not to answer the door for him, don't let him in, and to not let him see the kids. I just said okay. I thought she was being dramatic, but I went along with it. After she left, the kids seemed harmless, so I told my girlfriend to come over. After that, there was a knock at the door. I figured it was her, so I opened the door. It was the ex-husband. This guy looked a lot scarier in real life than he did in the pictures. He towered over me with tattoos everywhere, including his neck, a bald head, and gold teeth. He asked to see his kids.
I didn't know what to do, so I just told him, hold on, and I closed the door. I really didn't know what to do, so I called the woman and she didn't answer, so I texted her. Still nothing. Eventually, he started knocking on the door some more, but I would talk through the door, letting him know that I can't let him in, nor could I let the children out to see him due to the mother's request. He didn't like that too much. I stopped talking, then the knocking stopped, and the man said, okay. But it was an okay that sounded like he was going to get me back for not letting him in. I look outside and I see that he pulled off. I didn't call the police because he left. So my girlfriend texted me and it said she'll be there in 2 minutes. Then a few minutes go by and she isn't there yet. Then I see one of the twins looking out the window and he says, there's daddy. I look out the window and I saw the most disturbing thing you could think of. The man was on top of my girlfriend, stabbing her repeatedly in the side of her head with a screwdriver. Her body was shaking, but she wasn't making any noise. And there was blood everywhere, all over her head, face, ground, and that man. I wanted to burst out of that door to help her, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. So I called the police. The man just stood there, staring at the house. He never tried to escape, just waited for the police as if he were crazy. The twins' mother and the cops showed up at the same time, and she was hysterical, going between Spanish and English while crying. I felt numb, guilty, and ashamed that I called my girlfriend over, and she was killed. And I was a coward that stayed in the house. Till this day, I still feel the guilt.
Y'all enjoyed yourselves. Don't worry about the noise in the background. That is some static for some reason in my headphones. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I hope y'all enjoyed the show. If you listen to the playback, thank you for the love and support. You are awesome. Before I get out of here, don't forget to meet me here tomorrow, well, later on today, same time, same place, for the 31 Days of Horror, because you already know, I'm bringing the heat. We are almost to the finish line, which is 10 days away, and I got a lot more to, you know, to give y'all for y'all entertainment pleasure. Let me quit. So, so before I get out of here, let me leave y'all with my thought of the night before Blog Talk cut me off because I went severely into overtime. My thought of the night is this. Always remember that the same way you got on top of your game is the same way you could be knocked off your game. So humble thyself, live and walk in your truth. Don't work so hard. Don't forget to stop and smell the flowers. And also, when it comes to love, if you've been so badly hurt or jaded, please do everybody a favor and stay single or go get some help, because nobody deserves your leftover mess. So with that being said, love, peace, and blessings. Pray before you lay. I love y'all, and good night.